stakeholders in attendance. My name is Njoleni Sabo. I'm the committee secretary of this committee. I'm sitting in front just to facilitate a process that is required by the rules of parliament. The chairperson of the portfolio committee, Honorable Mutapa, is not with us today due to work-related commitments. In the absence of the chairperson, the rules of parliament requires that a committee must elect an acting chairperson. I'm here just to facilitate such process. Honorable members, I hereby request that you elect or nominate amongst your members a member that will be an acting chairperson for this proceeding. Honorable Mukose. Is there a seconder? Okay. Honorable Abrams, Honorable Falamerva. Any other nomination? Anyone who opposed the nomination of Honorable Soledi? Silent. Which means that Honorable Soledi has been duly nominated as the acting chairperson. You are hereby requested to come and take your seat. Congratulations for the hard work. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honorable members, for your vote of confidence. Let me greet everyone that is here in the meeting, the officials of SAFA, and the other guests that are here, the people from the media, you are all welcome. Honorable members, we had a long day yesterday where we were dealing with social development and NDA. There were matters that were raised yesterday, and there are also matters that we agreed about yesterday. So I would want to remind you, honorable members, that on the matters of the court case, we took a resolution that all the relevant information that is needed or that is coming from the court case should be presented to the portfolio committee on a date that still needs to be confirmed. So in other words, honorable members, I'm reminding you of that basically because we are not going to entertain any questions that are going to deal with a court case. So I just wanted to remind you because it's a resolution that you took yesterday as this collective that let's take it aside, let's wait for the other day where we will be briefed on it thoroughly, where we have to engage, we will also engage on it. So please, honorable members, let's not try to or be tempted to ask any questions that are related to the matter of the court case. So for today, honorable members, we will be dealing with the annual report of SASA, which is the Agency of Social Development. And also, you'll remember that we have an issue that we agreed about, that from time to time, SASA would have to brief us as this portfolio committee on the progress that they've made up to this far in terms of making sure that the grant payment or the integration that is between SASA and SAPO is going smoothly. So I don't know whether I want you to advise me whether we should start with that item where they will be giving us a small briefing, or should we start with the annual report and then we continue, honorable members. We are not supposed to be here for a long time, honorable members. If we can really do well, 2 hours should be at least the maximum time that we'll be here. Before I come to that one, honourable members, let me start with the apologies first. I'm just going to give over to the secretary of the committee to take us through the apologies. Already, yesterday, she personally apologised to all of us that there is a work-related commitment that she's supposed to be doing in Buffalo City. She went down to Buffalo City to do that, honourable members. Can you take over, secretary?
Thank you very much, Acting Chair. There is an apology from Honourable Dudley. She indicated yesterday as well that she's writing exam. And Honourable Sondi, who's also busy with political work, and Honourable Marcus, the standing apology. Yesterday, members, regarding the Deputy Minister, when I checked on my emails after the meeting, there was an apology sent at 10:53, which is I was already here in the meeting, from the Deputy Minister indicating that she won't be with the meeting, she won't be with us yesterday and today due to family commitments. Just to record that an apology was that late. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Secretary. Honourable members, can we accept the apologies or not accept them? Honourable
Mokhosi. No, Chair, I think in terms of the meeting procedures, whether the yesterday we talk about the apology of yesterday, like the apology of Minister was supposed to be rendered here today formally, so we cannot adopt the things of yesterday because today you are a chair, you know, a different chair, so I thought we'll get an apology from the office of the Minister so that we adopt.
Okay, can we go back to the apology that was presented yesterday, as much as it was sent yesterday, it's in regard also with the meeting today?
The minister indicated that today she is attending the MINMEC, so she won't be with us today as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable. Can we accept the...
No, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mokhosi. Any seconder? Honourable Masango, thank you. Can we then move back to the point that I raised, Honourable Members? Which one should we start with? The report or the annual report? The report of the progress or the annual report? Honourable Fandemere.
Chairperson, I think it's a very happy day because we are ripped off CPAs. So I think we should start there. So maybe we should ask them to just give us a 5-minute brief on where they are currently, how things are happening, and also maybe just in terms of an update about the strike. I don't think it will take long. Maybe we can start there. It will take 10 minutes. They can just give us an update, then we can move to the annual report, Chairperson. I don't see any harm in that.
Okay. Thank you, Honourable Sandy. May I have any other member? Honourable Dev?
Thank you, Honourable Acting Chair. I'm just confirming if we adopted today's agenda.
Okay, thank you. We are going to do that. Remember, I put the points that which one should we start with and the other one, so the next step will be the adoption of the agenda. I wanted just to confirm which point should we start with. Honourable Masango, do you have something?
No.
Oh, I thought your hand is up. Oh, Honourable Members, Honourable Fandemere is proposing that let's start with a briefing first on the progress, and then we come to the next point, which is the annual report. Are we all in agreement? Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Can we then adopt the agenda? There's nothing that we're going to add, Honourable Members. Once we've adopted the agenda, we are not going to add anything. We only have two items. Can we adopt the agenda as presented? Honourable Bev?
Thanks, Chairperson. I propose adoption for the agenda as is.
Thank you. Any seconder? Honourable Masango, thank you. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. We then going to give over to the SASA people that are here. It's faces that we have seen for a long time. I don't know if there is a new person that would need an introduction. If there's a new person who is coming for the first time in the portfolio committee, then the leader of the delegation, which is the acting CEO, will then introduce that person. Let me give over to you, CEO, to briefly go through the presentation of the the progress report up to so far. And also, I think the point that was raised by Honorable Sandemerve that really it's a very beautiful day, beautiful month for all of us. I think CPS is history. I do not really want us to hear that name again, unless otherwise. So let's then move to the CEO, acting CEO, to give us the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
I think even yesterday that mic had a problem. Can you try to use, take this one? Maybe, yeah.
Thank you. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, members of the committee, my colleagues from the department, and the members of the media. Thank you, Chairperson, for giving us an opportunity for the next 10 minutes or so just to give highlights on the state of transition of the SASA organization. It gives me pleasure, Chairperson, to report that in as many years, today the payment of social grants happens on a legit and a lawful contract, in that collaboration between government, the state has managed to take over the payment of social grants, therefore echoing the view that the Chairperson also raised, that CPS is no more for the first time in so many years. It gives us pleasure also to say to the committee, we have met the Constitutional Court obligation or order of saying that we will not use the services of CPS at the after the end of September. It therefore further gives me pleasure to report that we managed to meet that Constitutional Court order, in that the payment of social grants at cash pay points is no longer done by CPS. Therefore, we have met that deadline. We have not gone to the court to ask for extension or to ask for any waiver. And also to report to the committee that for the first time in many years, we have managed to show the success of a government gazetted instrument of paying social grants, being the South African Post Office. To this end, we have disbursed, or we have sent a budget file of 8.4 billion to SAPO. To this date, 86% thereof has already been paid in this particular October pay cycle, which indicates that the remaining 14% or so may well be others that are still going to be going as per the staggered payment cycles, or there may be people that were not going to be collecting their grants. So this gives us a good indication that we are headed towards making sure that we stabilize the payment of social grants through government-to-government collaboration. And I also would like to report to the committee that in the process of the transition, instead of celebrating, we came across a speed hub of sort, whereby there was industrial action that ensued, and we tried to deal with it to the extent that the strike has been called off. There has been quite disturbances in service points and service areas, but we are confident that operations will be restored soonest, so that we continue to make sure that we pay the social grants to the relevant people at the relevant time, every time, Njalo. I would give this opportunity to the head of strategy, Mr. Amokopa, just to give us the 5 minutes presentation on the figures and certain activities, including some challenges that ensued as we progressed with the collaboration to pay social grants with the South African Post Office. With your permission, Chairperson, I would like to give it over to you.
Thank you and good morning, Honourable Members. I'll just progress quickly on the slides. I won't go through all the slides, but I'll just summarize the issues as they emerge. Just to talk about the transition from the old SASA card, when we started in April, there were 8.5 million beneficiaries that were paid through the old SASA card, which needed to be swapped or to be migrated to any banking payment. So far, we have managed to cut swap 6.9 million of these beneficiaries have moved to the SAPO arrangement. Over 1 million have migrated to other banks, and then we are remaining with the The number has gone down. When I prepared the slides, it was 868. So far, we are only remaining with 600,000 old SASSA cards that are still in circulation, which we hope that by the 1st of November, they will all be migrated either to banking environment or to the SACO environment. In terms of confirmation of compliance to the Constitutional Court ruling, when we started with CPS, there were 3.1 million beneficiaries that were paid by CPS. The number was reduced gradually over a period of 5 months, and by the end of September, we were only remaining with 200,000 beneficiaries that were paid by CPS. Now we can confirm that all beneficiaries have been moved from CPS, and we don't have any cash beneficiary or any payment fund that was issued to CPS. And the necessary notification or termination letter was sent to CPS, and we have agreed on a number of issues that they have to deal with. Part of the issues was that there were still balances in some of the beneficiaries' old cards, and the process that we had was that each and every beneficiary was coming individually to request that we transfer the money. So we have agreed with CPS to work on a process to migrate whatever the remaining money that should be available. It should be sent back to SASSA, and then SASSA will re-add it into the additional, into the new payments of the beneficiaries. We've also agreed on issues about bringing back all the information that they have, and also we negotiated that we get an auditor to audit all the books and all the information in order to ensure that they have removed all beneficiary information from their system. In terms of payments for September and October, the table just that is here, it just provides the slight the migration of beneficiaries. The first one was the biometric payments that were done by CPS, which started with 3.1, and it went down by September, there were 221. October, it shows is zero. In terms of banking payments, in October, all beneficiaries, or all payments were done through direct transfers. We paid 10.9 million beneficiaries, and then there was also a bilateral agreement that we had with Green Rock, which was only for 3 months, that ended in June. So the table just summarizes the progress that we have made. As I indicated, we paid 10.9 million, and of the 10.9 million, 61% were paid by SAPO, and then 19%, which is 2.1, were paid by Green Rock. And then out of the Green Rock beneficiaries, there's 868 that still had the old SASSA card, which has gone down now to 600,000. We have already migrated the 200,000 from the 868. So these beneficiaries, we are busy also migrating, and we can confirm that by the 1st of November, there will be no SASSA card. And come December, we will be decommissioning this card completely out of circulation. We've also communicated that to Green Rock that we will not be depositing money into the old SASSA card come December, and that has been communicated also in writing. The remaining 20% beneficiaries, 2 million, are paid through the commercial banks. I've provided a slide just gives you the information around the breakdown of the beneficiaries. And on the banking beneficiaries, you'll see even Green Rock, they moved from a situation where they had 7 million beneficiaries, now they have 2.1 million beneficiaries, and out of the 2.1 million, 800,000 are not their beneficiaries. So it shows that beneficiaries have also been migrating from the old EPE card into the new SAPO card. In terms of the transactions that were done by SAPO, majority of the beneficiaries, SAPO, we deposited 8.4 million into the SAPO account. Majority of the beneficiaries, which is 60%, went to the ATM. Between 30 and 40% goes to the merchants or retailers, and then only less than 10% will go to the SAPO branches. However, when you talk of less than 10%, when you are talking about 10% of the 6.7, you are talking plus minus 600,000 going to the SAPO environment. And as we know that when SAPO or the post offices were designed, they were not designed for high volumes. So we have to work with SAPO in order to improve the infrastructure to accommodate the volumes that are coming. The other option that we are also working on is the staggering of payments so that we don't have everyone going to get their money in one day. So I'm going to jump the slide that talks about the ACB payment. It just shows the banks where people receive the money. And as I've indicated, the implications for SAPO. And then just to confirm that in addition to the branches and to the ATM payments that are done,
there are beneficiaries that are still paid through the cash pay points. In September, SAPO paid 1,267 pay points, and then in October, they are paying 1,740 payments, 40 cash pay points. And of those 1,740, the actual payments in the cash pay points started on Monday, on the 8th of October, except for one or two in Gauteng, where we started a day on a Friday. So far, we've had successful payment of beneficiaries. There's slight challenges that we have observed, and we are working on them, which I'll share with you. In addition to the cash payment, we included the transport plan to complement the services where SAPO was not ready to provide the services, and we've been providing that, those to cluster pay points. Like in the Northern Cape, they've established the hub, and beneficiaries are paid at the hub, so we do transport them to the payment hub in order to receive the money. In some areas where SAPO is not yet ready to provide a service, we transport beneficiaries to areas where they can receive money. We have also realigned the pay points. Where it was open spaces, we have transferred them to the SAPO branches, and in some areas, areas that where there's available infrastructure. So there's been some slight changes in terms of the pay points that we have. And the estimated cost for transportation is 27 million, but we are working on it to be a temporary measure. It's not a permanent solution. We're just working for it, using it as a transition solution. Coming to the challenges that we have, in July 2018, as you know, we all had problems with the system in terms of IGPS, and we collaborated with Telkom, and we migrated the SAPO into the SAPO system, the IGPS, to Telkom, and we got industry experts to help us. So the issue of the system challenges are no longer a matter of concern. We have addressed all the concerns. We've increased the capacity. The system is working well. There would be glitches there and there, but most of the time when there are system glitches, it would be the biometric when we link with Home Affairs that is slow, but not the IGPS per se. However, we still experience some problems or some minor challenges. Let me not say minor challenges. We still have some teething problems as we engage with SAPO, and in most cases, it has to do with payments at cash pay points and also in the branches, and we are working on them. But let me just flag a few. One of the things was that the cash in transit, the confirmation of the contract in September was done late, and that impacted on the scheduling and also the new people not understanding the routes. So you find that money arrived late in some of the cash pay points, and in some cases we had to rechange and ask beneficiaries to come on other days in order to avoid to pay during the night. The other issue that we are still working on is the cash management and projections. Because beneficiary behavior, we're still learning the beneficiary behavior. Beneficiaries, they choose to go to ATMs, sometimes they choose to go to branches. So in most cases, you'll find that we are estimating that at cash pay points we'll be paying 500 people or 200 people, only 10 pitch. In some pay points, some beneficiaries did not even come. They exercised their options to go to other areas. But we will not close those pay points immediately. We'll observe over a period of 3 months, and if it's consistent, those pay points will be closed off completely. But the beneficiaries have been migrating to different areas because already in most areas there's infrastructure. And in some cases they've been renting cars to go and get payment somewhere. So we are looking into that so that we can understand the real issue before we eliminate and deal with that. There's also been the issue that we were working on manual counting of cash in some of the areas because SAPO was still in the process of buying cash dispensing machines. And so far we have received some bulk of some of the cash dispensing machines, and they'll be distributed in some areas already. They've received new ones. So I'm hoping that by the end of November that would not be a serious challenge again. There's been issues around beneficiary having multiple cards. We still have the old SAPO card in circulation. We have the new SAPO card, and there's beneficiaries who are paid through the EPE. So in some cases, beneficiaries would come not understanding where the money has been deposited. But what we have done is that we have had SAPO staff at different major areas, especially in the retail, where there's big retail and there's large volumes. We have sent SAPO staff with the software so that they can direct beneficiaries or deal with those kind of queries, because beneficiaries are still not clear. Some would have cut swap after the 20th when we have already issued the payment file, therefore the money would still be in the old card. So we needed to ensure that in order to do that, we had to have a backup.
And then we still also have a new, we are observing that a number of beneficiaries are coming for PIN reset. And I think it's the whole issue that people are still used to the fact that they've been using biometrics, so they are not used to utilization of the PINs. So we have introduced the biometric system in the suburb branches in order to deal with this challenge. There's also issue of customer care. People have been queuing. We have reported, received queries that people are standing in queues for long. And part of it was this thing that I highlighted earlier around the issue of the cash arriving late. Therefore, it means people have to stand in a queue for quite a long time. So we are dealing with those challenges. There's issues around issues of chairs. But if you go to most support branches now, you can see that we have purchased chairs, and we are taking chairs from some of the decommissioned pay points to some of the support areas or where support is servicing beneficiaries. So we're doing our utmost to deal with this. But these are some of the teething challenges that we have observed. And as people call us, give us information, we try to work on them. And we believe that over time, we will be able to stabilize this payment environment. And then the other element is the issue of security. There have been a number of reported robberies, not only in SAPO branches, but also in merchants, spa, boxer, and so on. And most of them happen on the first or the first 2 or 3 days of payment. And we've been engaging with the security cluster. We have also requested our IEC to ask us, to support us in terms of this. If you look at most payments in October, there were police visibility across the country. So we are hoping that this will reduce the robberies going forward. But I don't know how we're going to deal with the robberies in the large merchants because they are gradually increasing. And our fear is that we don't want to get to a situation where the merchants don't want to serve the beneficiaries because they see itself as a footprint for also servicing the beneficiaries. Other matters, there were also reported that challenges with CPS and Gringos that we are dealing with, and community concerns. There were vendors who came to lodge complaints that as we close or realign some of the pay points, they are losing businesses. We are busy engaging with them because we're just showing them the opportunity to say we have not decommissioned the pay points 100%. They can still utilize the support environment. They can go to where we have put the hubs because at the hubs they even have much larger groups that they can engage with. The retailers and merchants have also raised concerns. Part of it is the issues of robberies and the funding. And they've also issued, reported the issue that they are proposing that we consider the staggering of payments. So in this regard, we are organizing a workshop with all industry and affected parties so that we can do an informed staggering, which will take care of the beneficiary needs, but also understanding of the industry. Our strategic focus as we move beyond it will be working on ensuring that beyond the CPS contract, we deal with those challenges that we have highlighted. Also repositioning SAPO and Postbank as the primary social grant payment partner. And therefore, we have to ensure that their staff understand the responsibility that comes with this. So we are engaged with training and workshops so that they can appreciate the numbers that they are dealing with and the volumes and the type of beneficiaries that we are working with. We're also working on decommissioning the old card to ensure that by December it's out of circulation because we can't afford to have the SASA brand being used by private banks. And then we also want to improve the beneficiary experience and also the communication. And Chairperson, I think that summarizes the presentation.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Our time now is up there. We will only have until 11 o'clock to deal with this matter. So in other words, all of you, you just have 3 minutes to share in the matter so that we can, by 11 o'clock, we then start with the presentation of the annual report. Can I note here, Honorable Sandy Mercer, Honorable Bev, Honorable Masango, and Honorable Kanye in that fashion.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much to the presenter. I think, indeed, we have in the past had many fights around these issues, and we have to congratulate you. I think when we last spoke, I was also a bit wary about whether the plans that we had in place would be successful. But from the outset, I think I must say that the issue of the robberies is very concerning. I think I heard the police commissioner, Becky Pelele, at a recent press briefing saying that this was going to be one of his biggest headaches going forward. So it is concerning that even though we've been able to migrate away from CPS, now our grant recipients are more vulnerable than they've been before. So I would like to know, in your discussions with the police commissioner, what urgent steps are you putting in place? Because you are also saying that the robberies are increasing, so it means the current measures that we've got in place to stop these robberies are not effective. And maybe if you can tell us how many robberies have been reported so far. I also wanted to ask, the current strike is around the biometrics, or the now suspended strike is around the biometrics. Staff are saying that they have not been trained since migrating over from CPS, they've not been trained on the biometrics, how to do it, how to implement it. How are you going to rectify this? I know it's been suspended for now, but surely it's a temporary measure. So what type of interventions are you going to take to remedy this? The 600,000 cards that's left that needs to be migrated, do we have 600,000 new cards in circulation at the moment? I'm asking this because I keep on getting reports of people going to post offices, for example, and then there are no cards, and it's normally pensioners or elderly people, you know, people who can't stand in queues for very long. I heard we are saying that we've now got chairs at different post or different branches, but the queues are still very, very, very long, and people don't have access to toilets, they don't have places to sit, and I just wanted to, we need to urgently rectify that as well. I think I will leave it there for now. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. The next one.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for Sakata for the presentation. Yes, I'd like to align and say that we were a bit scary and wary, but well done. Chairperson, I just want to ask, how confident is Sakata that by the 1st of November everybody would have swapped or migrated into the new system? How can we assist as members of Parliament in our various communities? Is there a breakdown that we can get regarding the areas where there's a shortage, and so we can assist them in the mobilize? And then in terms of the transport, it's quite frightening because some of our people hear about the transport and some don't get transport, so they want to know what is the criteria for transport. Of course, when you explain that it's for people that's very far, old people will tell you that walking from our house to the nearest post office is very far. But how sustainable is this program? Because if SACA does the transport now, it is not a temporary issue like you're stating, but more permanent. People get spoiled and they would expect a transport. Regarding the chairs and the other utilities, for instance, the toilets and things like that, how will that be sustainable? Because it's not like it's just a once-off payment, it's forever. Are these chairs hired? We know that the toilets are being hired. Are these chairs hired? What measures are going to be taken to actually have more permanent facilities available for the people to utilize the abuse and facilities? Then we do get queries every day regarding new beneficiaries. I've just had somebody sending me a message saying that from Annabelle in Johannesburg South, they actually get referred to Alexander, which is on the other side of Johannesburg North. Why is that happening? And our people don't get transport to get to these. And when they get to SASA offices, they get referred to some other office. The transport, just getting back to the transport on slide 17, I just want to know what criteria was used, or how did you get to all these totals? In one slide, you mentioned that one of the provinces has submitted a quote, which is like 6 million. But here, noting that Western Cape has got 200,000 estimation, and the rest of the provinces is 3 million, 1.9, and so on. What is a special remedy for Western Cape, besides noting that rural areas is vast? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next one is Honorable Masango. Honorable Masango, they've been on time. Honorable Dev just said yes, 2 minutes, 20 seconds, the same with Honorable Fandi Dev. So you should be within your 3 minutes and the rest that are going to follow, Honorable Members. Thank you. You can continue.
Chairperson, I hope you didn't eat into my time to help me. But
it's like my 46.
Okay, thank you, Chair. No, I must, join the colleagues for congratulating SASA and SAPO for having rid us of CPS, and one also acknowledges the teething problems that have, which challenges that have been cited, but one is very, very excited about this prospect of having no CPS in the system at all. Chair, the acting CEO mentioned the speed humps of the industrial action, and one welcomes the fact that something is being done about it. But I would like to know the statement that went out about this whole thing after the meeting yesterday. Does it cover the PSPFA people, and what happens there? Because there has been a large and long, challenge of the people because of this particular industrial action. And also, I would like to know the suspension of biometrics. I seem to have heard that biometrics were used to avoid fraud and yes. Things. So why is it now again mentioned that it just explain to me, just clarify for me this biometrics thing, because then if the biometrics are suspended, then we are going to have fraud, then we're going to be back into a mess again. And lastly, Chair, I would like to know if SASSA has an indication of how many new applications have been affected, especially in Gauteng, by this non-enrollment of new applications, because one is looking at the issue of backlog. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. 2 minutes, 1 second. No, you were right on time.
Honorable Kanyeli.
Okay, thank you so much, Chairperson. We welcome the presentation by SASSA. I just want to I have a question, especially on the transportation of the grant recipients. I just want to know how is SASSA going to communicate the transportation issues, and if you are going to have pick-up points where you are going to pick up the grant recipients. The reason I'm asking this question, Chairperson, is because we have been receiving a lot of content, especially from the rural areas. Most of people there, they are very much at these grant cells because there is an area where they need to travel about 50 kilometers to where they're going to access their funds from SAPO because they do not have a nearer post office next to them. So they have to travel about 50 kilometers. And in most instances, when they get to that post office, because it doesn't have a capacity, while they're still on the queue, the money gets finished and they end up sleeping there. And the people that they are hiring their cars to take them to those centers, they are charging them about 200 rand. So we just need to know if we are going to be able to communicate the pickup points. Another issue that has been strongly raised by the communities from the rural areas is the issue of vendors, because we have a very high rate of unemployment in our country, and these people were able to get some income from selling where they were distributing the grant, but they are saying they are not allowed to sell at SAPO offices. So we want to know if you may be in a position to communicate or negotiate with SAPO to allow them to proceed with their businesses over there. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Honorable Kanyeli, can I request you that and other honorable members, because we are doing our oversight work, if there are areas where there's a problem, can't we just mention those areas so that they can make sure that they really go to those areas and be able to solve the problem there?
Okay. Can I do it now?
Yes.
Okay, the area that I'm talking about, it is in Barangop in JS Moroka municipality. And they are saying their communities there, they travel to Hammanskraal because it is the nearest post office. Thank you.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
Is it Panenkop?
Panenkop.
Yes. Honorable Mokosi.
No, Chairperson, thank you. I like to align myself to my colleagues and well done to SASSA. But as much as we are putting the praise to SASSA, the praise must come to the committee. Maybe the South African, the 54 million people out there, they must know that this committee is doing its oversight, and though we know that it went to the media that the committee is not doing the good oversight, we are doing the good oversight. That's why today we are sitting here with the report that we can go and shine. Remember, this is our last time in the parliament you are living, one will go to say, at least in terms of the social grant or social security of the country, we did the justice and the issue of human rights were addressed accurately. Chair, I want to go back to further in terms of the employee strike. On the 2nd of May this year, 2018, it's recorded in my phone. I ask the question in terms of the biometric, especially on the condition of service of workers. And that time, we receive a report to say, no, everything is fine, SASA is doing well with the labor movement in the department. But when we see the strike action yesterday or day before yesterday, one said, oh, but SASA told us that everything is in order. There's a relationship, there's a peace and stability in terms of the employer and the employee, but things were not working. But we wanted maybe SASA to go deeper in terms of this action strike, especially on the condition of service of the grant administrators, the ones that are paying it, because the problem is on them, including the issue of biometric, what is happening. But the chair, on the issue of SAPO and SASA, I'm from Soweto. We can say that Soweto, already we're from an unbanned area, everything is fine. I will use one of the post office, the Dixie post office, that is in Dixie Square Mall. Chair, it's a very small office of SAPO, of the post office. I did see the chairs on Saturday, they were black, and there are 20 chairs that I counted there. My worry is to say, the mall doesn't have enough toilets. What is happening? Because when you talk about mobile toilets, where are you putting that in that mall? Because I know that mall. And there are retailers next to that. And we have exposed our citizenship in terms of these robbers that are happening in the location, because they even follow them from the malls to their houses after that. So we need to check that. Whether we said we did save in closing the pay points were much safer in other way, because we knew that they were the only one that are going there. But now in the mall, everybody is there. And we need to address this thing. It's a serious, serious challenge. They do follow them. And if they follow us in the malls, what about the senior citizenship? It's worse for them, because they can follow me in the pick and pay. What about them after they draw their money? So these are the things that, Chair, we need to talk about. If only 1 minute, the issue of vendors. You must check that, don't close for them, because they were assisting in terms of building the economy of this country. They are informal, but they were assisting. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Can you, Sasa, you have 10 minutes to answer all the questions. Honorable members, some of the questions we will perhaps defer them to when we are dealing with the annual report, because I really want us at 11 o'clock to start with the annual report. If your questions, perhaps if you have got follow-up questions, please just hold them up until we get to that stage. Can I give over to you, Acting CEO?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll deal with a few of the questions and also then give
just
some...
Just a minute, maybe let me just include one question. I would want you, as you are answering the question, just to let the honourable members know and the nation at large, because I think they are watching us, that in this contract, now that the CPS is out, it's SAPO, how much have we saved from the fiscal? Mm-hmm. It's very, very much important that people should know how much have we saved with the arrangement of SAPO and SASA. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I would also just really want to acknowledge that we wouldn't have been here if it wasn't for the oversight of this committee and also the guidance of this committee. Yes, there's been quite hectic times, but we appreciate that we were able to hold on and take into account whatever the guidance that we were getting. Chairperson, let me start with your question of saving. We do admit that the savings curve will not be reflective of any savings now, because we are starting with the investment into building infrastructure within government. So as my colleague was reporting, that some post office infrastructure, even offices, were never designed to render services of social payments. Therefore, the investment that is being channeled now may be slightly higher than what was costing government. But in the long term, we should be able to say that we have saved. And I've given an analogy that says, if a person stays in a rented house, may not have problems over a short period of time, but 10 years down the line, show me the same person with the one that has built their own, you will find that somebody has got a legacy to leave behind to say, I invested lots of money, but these stands, I can leave it for the generations to come. So we have been leasing to CPS for a long time. Now we are building our own, so the cost of building is slightly higher. So the infrastructure costs indeed are actually going to make the investment steep at the moment, but over time the investment curve will smoothen. Therefore, there's no outright savings now that we will compute, but as we go along and in handling fees and so on, definitely we should be able to report back to the committee and track the importance of government-to-government collaborations in terms of savings. With regard to the questions that were raised, like I said, some of my colleagues will assist me in some of them. We are very much concerned with regard to issues of safety, and the question was, what are we doing? We have structures that we call the NetJOC, where nationally there's joint operations where information is shared about the payment of social grants. Then we've got provincial JOCs where the same information is disseminated. Then we've got the war room at SASA, where on a daily basis we're tracking the events and so on. And some intelligence has come through indeed from the people that report through these structures, and some robberies have been trotted. And if you compare what has happened in September and August compared to what has happened in October payment cycle, we have seen some traction in terms of improvement. But I must say it remains a concern. To that effect, yes, we have solicited assistance at provincial level, at national level, to ask for assistance to the security cluster. And their visibility in most areas, particularly after we've given them information, they do their own plotting and their own risk assessment, and they've really shown visibility, which has reduced drastically the exposure of this payment of social crime cycle. But we are not there yet, and we must admit that we are working closely with the security cluster to improve through these structures that I've mentioned. The issue of the current strike, and what is it that we are doing to remediate it in the long term? Yes, we have agreed on the suspension of the strike. We do know that the organized labor and the employees were indicating that the consultation was not adequate, and then secondly, they're saying the training was not adequate. We have put forward a case that says consultation did happen. If they say it's inadequate, we'll improve on that. And we have appointed a task team jointly between us and organized labor to deal with the issues of technical nature and the issues of operational nature that may have affected the employees. So to that extent, a suspension is not going to be long. We'll come back to report to the committee once that has been resolved. But it is of a nature that says, let us deal with the technical design issues they've raised and then implement them and then finalize the training, and then we will be ready to go. But at the center of the agreement, as far as we are concerned, the SASA, was number one, that the beneficiaries or the applicants to access social grants shall not be turned away because of inability to register through biometrics. Also, according to law, if a person has got a valid South African identity document, they can apply for access to social grants. It says ID or the biometrics. Therefore, it should not have been a showstopper to pay social grants. That is why we're saying we'll deal with the issue of the technical design of the solution, but we'll continue with the registration of our beneficiaries who wants to access social grants. And even the payment thereof will not be prohibited or prevented by the biometric system within SASA environment. There was a question that said that 600 cards in circulation, do we have stock? The report that we had from SAPO was that they had enough replacement cuts or cuts in circulation now after they met their production targets. But Rapati may maybe add on if they've got recent figures that they were released, but the report that we got recently was that they have met their production projections for cuts to be in circulation to meet the demand. Obviously, it's based on forecasts. The issue of dignitary services, to the Honorable Committee members, is a very difficult one, we must say, because dignity services become required when there is a prolonged wait for services. And we are of the view that whereas we have given the regional executive management and also SAPO counterparts to use discretion and show that as they to marshal the queues, they make those dignitary services as an intervention available. It is very, very difficult. As my colleague has said, sometimes beneficiary behavior is changing. So the queues will be here tomorrow and the other time will be there, depending on the convenience, of course. But we're working hard to make sure that the payment of social grants is done under dignified circumstances. And the chairs are being rented, and the post office has some that they have bought. And in certain instances, like my colleague said, we take them from the closed pay points and we put them there to make sure that we improve on the dignity services. In terms of the confidence, I'll leave confidence to swap the entire group of cards in circulation. Mrs. Rapati and Diane can attend to that one. How can the MPs assist? We would appreciate indeed to share, the willingness of the MPs to continue with the ambassadorship of this transition. And we do have payment point schedules in terms of where they are located. Sometimes what we hide in date would be the actual date as a security measure. But if we disclose it to the committee members who are ambassadors of the success of this program, we're more than willing to release those with that particular caution to say there are security risks. But the pay points are very much available, and we appreciate the presence of the MPs and other stakeholders to assist in the evaluation process. The transport plan is not a permanent solution to what we are facing now. The permanent solution is for us as government to broaden the infrastructure to those areas to the point where we'll not need to move people elsewhere. We'll do that very cautiously. Like one of the honorable members has indicated, sometimes beneficiaries, if you give them something, they want extra, and they want extra, and they want extra. So those that are about 200 meters away from, one day they're going to say, no, bring it at home, you know, this thing. So I think it's a culture that needs to be changed through educational programs in consultation with stakeholders and the same beneficiaries. But we are of the view that, indeed, the transport plan with it's an intervention, it's not a permanent solution. But we said, because in the rural areas, we don't have permanent postal infrastructure where the services can be rendered, we will then take those people to those realigned pay points and then service them there and take them back. And we also looked at the criteria to say, the young people also can take the chance, you know, when it suits them, they can go on their own to town. But sometimes, you know, if there's a free transport, why not? So we are working really with the stakeholders on the ground, but also there is communication that goes locally to the recipients by pay point grouping to say how is the transport arrangement going to work. So we will work continuously with the regions to look at the beneficial behavior, look at the catchment areas as they evolve. Some of them catch a number, some of them are dwindling. So as we realign and consolidate, I am sure even the transport plan will be following the same pattern until such time that we would have invested enough in the access point for these, particularly in the rural areas. We have taken note of the queries with regard to Innerdale branch, where people are referred to Alexander. We'll give a special attention to that and have a look at what are the circumstances surrounding that. I've I've alluded to the issue of the industrial action there. With regard to the involvement of PSA, yes, we have involved, included discussions, a discussion with PSA. Yesterday, after the meeting, we did have a meeting with PSA, and also have got a follow-up meeting with PSA, I think on the 23rd, to continue discussions. We do not intend to work on the solution for this issue on a one-sided way, but we want to be inclusive, and therefore we have started engaging with PSA as well. The suspension of the biometrics, as I indicated, yes, biometrics was intended to be a deterrent to fraud, whereas on the other side, for the purpose of us rendering services to beneficiaries, it becomes biometrics or ID. So that part, we will continue to make sure that the controls are in place. If a person has successfully applied for the grant, they get registered, but then they get moved for card issuance in the South African post office environment where they also exercise controls. So we do understand that, yes, biometrics is a fraud deterrent and we are not going to give up on it. However, we still believe that there are controls between the time of registration and the time of actual card issuance and ultimately the time of pension, payment of the particular social grant, in that the post office also does have verification means between the population register and the identity documentation of the social grant recipients. So we are we have agreed that we will prioritize the task team to work on the and the on the issues of biometric system on the social side to make sure that we implement it, you know, with shortest possible time. In terms of the backlog of applications, I would ask Diane if she has got numbers just to highlight to those to the committee where we are in terms of the backlog applications, if there are any. With regard to the issue of vendor,
can you be short? You've got 30 seconds to summarize what you were saying.
The questions were actually 22, but I'm at number 17 now. So employees, the vendors, we have engaged with vendors in the north, particularly where we started engaging them. We didn't have a form. They were not structured. But now at least as a chairperson, now we're engaging with them, and we're sharing with them the routes. Like we said, we hide certain elements of the payment cycle route, but we do share with them, and we keep you know, relationship between them, SAPO and SASA, at those levels. And I think the issue of the safety at malls, it's a practical challenge which we cannot say we have got immediate a solution. The following of people from various points does happen indeed. And we will continue to try and look for better ways of really optimizing our security. We don't have an immediate answer to say, can we then move them outright and get them to places where they will not be seen, that they have received social grants and so on. So it's quite a very difficult and a challenging exercise. But we are committed to look at the trends, look at the suggestions from committees, and try and improve on those. Honourable Chairperson, I appreciate the time given us. There were two things that I would have asked if Rafat or Dan can just comment on. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. And mine is a very short answer. We don't have quantified backlog of applications, but we have where we receive complaints, been maintaining a register of those. And as the officers can start working, we will be contacting those people so that they can go in and lodge the applications. But in terms of a number, I do not have a number.
The last one?
In terms of the number of beneficiaries, the 600,000 that are remaining, well, on average, if we go to the September, in September alone, if you look at the slide, we were able to migrate 2.7 beneficiaries through the cash-off process. So on average per week, we are able to do more than 100,000 beneficiaries. In October, the first week of October is slow because we focus on payment. Immediately after the payment, then the second week the number starts to pick up, and we are hoping that 600,000 is not a lot. We've aggregated the beneficiaries. I have the numbers per province.
We have them per district, per area. So it's not a complicated process. However, what happens is that we also have the auto-migration facility, where once beneficiaries, if ever there's any that is left out, we do open automatic accounts and then encourage the beneficiaries to go to any SAPO branch, and when they get there, we get them the new card. But what we're saying is that this type of beneficiaries that are remaining are the ones that are used to going to the bank. So those who still wish to go to any ACB or any previous bank of their choice, they are also encouraged to do so.
Thank you.
And then maybe the other thing, that because we are having teething problems, what we did when we segmented the stay points, we ensured that those that are outside the 10-kilometer radius remain. So if we have a pay point that is 50 kilometers from the NPS, we are busy revising the list. We'll have to go back and check what was the infrastructure in the area, because in some cases, you'll find that ATMs, they've since bombed them or they've removed them after we have done when we were doing the assessment and the analysis. So we'll have to go back, but we appreciate, like Honorable Zoleli, always wherever they are, they call us, and once we deal with the issues there and there and address them. And some of the things we may not be aware, so we appreciate the calls if you could call us and give us the information so that we can constantly review and improve.
Thank you. How much, plus or minus, how much are we saving? How many millions?
This year, remember, we are paying both CPS and SAPO in year one. So in year one, the actual saving. And we're still awaiting the confirmation from court in terms of how much we should be paying CPS. So there's that gap that we cannot clarify.
But we can estimate how much is it going to save the fiscal saving moving forward. Because, yes, we understand for this year, this financial year and the previous one, you might not, but in an estimate, how much, plus or minus, how many millions that will be saving? A billion? How much are we paying to CPS? Are we going to save? If we're going to save, are we going to save? Or are we not going to save?
Chairperson, thank you. I do understand how strongly you feel about that. But even after the term, I'll follow you up and give you the savings figures. But the reality is the investment curve at the moment is going to stay steep because we are remediating the infrastructure requirements as they are. Thank you, Chairperson.
He really answered as a politician. He became so diplomatic with an answer. He didn't want to answer me correctly, but I understand, honorable members. Yes, because we were outsourcing the project, now that the program has come back, in other words, there is something that we're going to get back to our national purse. Whether it's 2 rand or a cent, that is very much important. So honorable members, like honorable Mkhosi has said, I think you really need to pat yourself on the shoulders. You did very well. The past 2 years have been very difficult to us as this portfolio committee. Sometimes we were angry with each other. Sometimes we were angry with them not because we hated them, but because we wanted to do what is required of us to provide oversight to the department in SASA, and also to make sure that the services are delivered to our people. You must understand that this is one of the most important poverty alleviation programs that we have in this democratic dispensation. So it is very important for us as these members that are deployed here that as we leave, we have a very good legacy report. In our legacy report, your names will be there, that you made it a point that a program that was outsourced, you brought it back to where it's supposed to be. So you really need to congratulate yourselves. You did a very good job over the 2 years. Honorable members, now we are moving with speed to the presentation of the annual report of the agency. I'm not going even to give you time to allow you to maybe to grab something, honorable members, because I know there are those who would really want to travel this afternoon.
So for us to make sure that we move with speed, let me give over to the acting CEO to go straight to the presentation of the annual report, and then we can then engage with the discussions after all. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. We appreciate the opportunity given once again to come and report to this committee on the financial, on the annual report and performance of the agency. And the report in detail was circulated and indeed is captured in the booklet that was circulated. But we have prepared a presentation that will take the committee through. What I would like to indicate outright is that with the challenges that we faced and we're still facing, the agency did not manage to reach the target of getting the desired audit outcome. So we do have, you know, a qualification as an outcome of audit, and we are working with programs that are in place now to deal with remediation action to make sure that the upcoming year does not yield the same outcome of audit. We are greatly concerned, but as I indicated, we are doing everything we can. Chairperson, without going into much detail, I would like to hand over to Rapati to brief then the committee on the outcomes of the annual performance of the agency. I thank you.
Thank you very much. Before you can proceed, I just want to check with the honourable members, you still have your Auditor General presentation. It's also going to assist you as we move forward with the presentation. If there's a member who doesn't have, can you please indicate? There's only one. Okay, I would request the admin to try and give us one copy so that the members can also have that presentation that was presented yesterday, the Auditor General's report. Can you ask Nozobo where she is, maybe perhaps to bring one copy, because there were copies that were left yesterday. Thank you. Can you proceed?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. I the purpose overview. Can you push the other mic?
We'll deal with the program performance.
No. Can you use this one?
I'll focus on the program performance information, and the CFO will highlight the budget expenditure, the audit outcomes, and the recommendations. In terms of the purpose of the presentation is to present to the committee the performance of the organization, focusing on performance information, budget and expenditure, audit outcomes, and also to recommend approval of the presentation. As we know, we are a Section 31 public entity established in terms of the SASSA Act of 2004, and our objective is to act as the sole agent that will ensure the efficient and effective management, administration, and payment of social assistance, and to eventually serve as the institution to manage broader social security benefits. Our program is the social assistance program. It's fully government-funded. The mission and the vision that we've been working towards is to be a leader in the delivery of social security services, and our mission is to administer.
Can I request you all the legislative provisions that should skip them, get straight to the presentation, please.
Let's go to slide 13. In terms of the annual performance plan for 2017-2018, SASA had 42 planned targets, and out of the 42 planned targets, we were able to achieve 27%, and 27, which represents 64%.
Why are you on the night alone?
And we failed to achieve 15, and 11 of the 15 we partially worked on them. Most of them were at 80 and up to 90%, but we could not finalize them completely. And four of them were recorded below 5% performance. Going to program one, I'll go to straight to say, in terms of program one, there were 21 targets, and out of the 21 targets, 13 were fully achieved, 8 were not achieved, and out of the 8, 4 were partially achieved, and 4 not achieved. And going into the real issues, why, what is it that we achieved and what is it that we did not do in terms of program one? One of the first targets was to have to conduct 30 internal audit reviews on high-risk areas. We have managed to achieve 28 of these internal audit reviews, and the two that we did not achieve, the actual audit were conducted, but the sign off was delayed in such a way that they were only signed off after the closing date, and hence they are not recorded as them fully completed. In terms of the fraud, we were targeting to do fraud awareness in 72 areas. We've managed to deal with 87 fraud, theft, and corruption and awareness programs that we conducted in the 9 regions, and we have been able to engage with 3,300 officials. The achievement represents 121%. In terms of dealing with the investigation on fraud, theft, and corruption, the target was to have 70% of the reported cases investigated. We managed to achieve 88%. So out of the 446 cases that were reported, we were able to address the 393 and ensure that we address them fully. And in those cases, some of the cases that we report were received, majority of them were allegations where people report that there's people who are receiving CSG who do not necessarily qualify. We have also received some of the cases are from regarding the old age grant where people were alleging that the fraudulent IDs that were implicating or used by foreign nationals, and some of the South Africans were using fraudulent IDs. We also dealt with those. And we are also now seeing a new trend of disability grant where we are receiving people who are reporting that there are people who are receiving disability grants and they have no disability. All those investigations were conducted and completed. In terms of backlog on fraud and corruption, the intention was that we wanted to eradicate 100% on the backlog, and we managed to only deal with 93%. So out of the 341 that were reported that were still on the in the backlog system, we managed to address the 317. And most of these backlog cases, the reason we could not finish them, they involve the syndicate, and therefore when you do the investigation, you have to engage different provinces. You'll find that the application happened, was processed in KZN, but the beneficiaries in Northwest or so on. So you'll find that the syndicate operates mainly KZN, Northwest, Western Cape, and Eastern Cape. So you'll find that you need sophisticated forms of investigation, hence there's still some of the cases that are still outstanding. On the risk register, we plan to do an updated strategic risk register and ensure that it's concluded. That was done and it was finalized. In terms of the operational risk register, the plan was to have operational risk register completed for all the branches of the organization. The risk register was completed except for two branches where the process was started but was not fully completed. And it was completed outside the end of the financial year. In terms of the HR plan, the plan was to have the HR plan reviewed and approved. This was to focus largely on the payment process. The business process was based on the steps that would be taken in terms of the biometric. The work was done, and a time and motion studies was also done. The norms and standards were also developed for each activity in the biometric process. So this process was being completed. However, this is also the issue that is still under dispute as we talk to engage with the labor, so we'll have to also go back and re-engage with them on some of the issues. In terms of the capacity model was reviewed and approved. The model was reviewed to determine the number of posts of staff that would be required at the local office based on the revised standardized process and improved business processes as we try to accommodate the new process that is mainly the biometric. In terms of funded staff, ensuring that 95% of all funded posts are filled, the target was the target was to have 95%, and SASSA has, we've managed to achieve that. We have 8,800 employees at the end of March. This position includes the 397 contracts, and 39 are in temp. One of the targets that we had was to ensure that the core sourcing of registries or the records management centers is completed, and the target was to do for Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and Northern Cape. However, when we started implementing, we found that we completed all the targeted provinces and also went beyond. And part of the work that we had also to do was to do the refurbishment of the core sourced areas, appointment of security company, appointment of cleaning company, and file transfer to the new data center or data warehouses where the records are kept. And biometric solution for users procured, with the target was to procure the solution, and the solution was procured. However, what we did was to ensure that instead of focusing on the staff, we turned around and reprioritized and focused on the beneficiaries. So the system is there, but the actual staff that were, the system for staff was not implemented, but we used it for beneficiaries. But staff were trained on this system, and I guess CEO has raised a number of issues, and some of those issues are still in dispute. But what is disputed is the issues of biometric on staff, not the biometric, the issue of biometric on beneficiaries, not biometric on staff. That one is not an issue. Oh, I'm told that now, based on the engagements yesterday, the dispute also includes the biometric for users as well. In terms of the governance and risk compliance solution, the target was to have the business case developed, and that was done. The terms of reference were developed. However, the implementation did not happen. Instead, SASSA decided to first consider the capability of existing audit compliance software to deal with the requirements for governance, risk, and compliance for resource. So we did not go out on procurement instead. On the connectivity, our target was to have connectivity infrastructure upgraded in head office, in regional offices, at records management centers, 50 district offices, and the local offices. We were able to do the infrastructure connectivity upgrades for the head office. We improved from 4 megabytes to 20 megabytes. For all the regional offices, they were improved from 2 megabytes to 8 megabytes. For records management centers, we also finalized the improvements there. For the district offices, we managed to do that. For the local offices, that's where we have challenge. We were planning to do 50, but we only did 12. And the reason is that we use the telecom, and we also have to engage with the landlord in order to do upgrades. So in some cases, once if you have not received any permission in writing from the landlord, you cannot come in and do the upgrade in terms of the infrastructure. So that delayed our projection. So we will be continuing with this in the upgrade as in this current financial year. And this is very important because it has an impact even on other programs that we implement, because if you have to increase any software or anything in any local office, you have to ensure that the connectivity is sufficient to deal with some of the things. So you'll find that some of the programs, we could not do the ongoing scanning in the local offices because automatically the system, you need broader infrastructure. So we will introduce that at a later stage. In terms of data service solution procured and implemented, that has been implemented and it has been done and integrated. And one of the major benefits that you see is that with Nexus, we have been able to link with it, and out of the beneficiaries that we work with, 14,177 social grant beneficiaries were able to be given the NAFSA's bursaries because of the interconnectivity that was connected, of that the data integration and sharing that we are doing. So we have a plan at the beginning of the year that we start to work with NAFSA so that by the beginning of the year, already they have a database of beneficiaries who are in matric, and we start tracking them, and once the results are issued, then they are able to get automatic qualification. In terms of backscanning solution implemented, we have done the backscanning for Gauteng, KZN, Mpumalanga, Free State, and Eastern Cape. Northern Cape, although it was there in the target, was done in the previous financial year, and therefore there was no need to redo it. And then the 464,000 files have already been scanned into the solution. in the ongoing solution, as I've indicated, we were not able to do the ongoing scanning in the, because it has to be implemented in the local office as beneficiaries are applying. So this will be implemented at a later stage once we have finished the infrastructure upgrade. On the enterprise business intelligence solution being implemented in all branches, that has been achieved. In the web interface solution to be procured and configured, the integrated grant payment system was procured and configured by the South African Post Office as part of the agreement between SASSA and SAPO for the project. So there was no need to do an isolated one within SASSA. We are using the same system for integration. In terms of the qualification, we can report that, as CEO has indicated, we had a qualification once more. On payment of eligible suppliers that should be paid within 30 days, we've been able to achieve 99.8%. So almost all the suppliers that we work with are paid within the stipulated 30 days. And then the other few that are not paid within, which is less than a percent, are those where there'll be disputed invoices. On 5% of social assistance debtors recovered, for the first time we are proud to report that we've met this target. Actually, we were able to achieve 40% of the social assistance were recovered or written off. 14 million was collected and 379 million was written off. Going to program two, the program had 21 targets, and of the 21 targets, we were able to achieve 14 fully and 7 were partially achieved. In terms of the social grants, the target was that we'll have 1.5 million social grants processed, because this we use by projections, we do estimations, we look at estimations from the previous year, and surprisingly, this year the target, the number just went high. We had 2.1 million new beneficiaries that came into the system, which indicates 141% achievement. In terms of payment, the target was to ensure that 17.5 million beneficiaries are in payment, and that we have also managed to achieve 99.9%. And unfortunately, we cannot claim the 99% as full achievement because the target was in number, not in percentage. The next slide just shows the social grants that are in payment per grant type, and I'll just pass. Going to SRD, the target was to have 500,000 SRD applications processed, and we've been able to achieve 573 that were processed, and of the 573, 10,000 were in the form of cash, 341 were in the form of school food parcels, school uniform was for 70,000, vouchers 149, and the others for 790. And the total SRD expenditure for 2017-18 was 546 million. In terms of the processing of applicants for children between 0 and 1, which remain our primary focus because these are the areas where the take-up rate was very low, we've managed to reach 665 beneficiaries, and the target, and this represents 119% of our achievement. The target to have 95% of social grants application processed within 10 days. Here we were able to achieve 94%. Of the 2.1 million applicants that were received, 2 million were processed within 10 days, and 80% actually were processed within 1 day. The ones that were processed later than 1 day were mainly the disability, because normally the process requires to take longer, or those that were processed from service points that are not fully connected. On the foster child grant reviews, we managed to achieve 181,305 foster care reviews instead of 232. And here the real, it's important to mention that the significant dependency is that for SASSA to finalize the review, DSD has to do its part. And once the social worker have done their part, it's only then that SASSA can finalize the process. So we are at the end, although the target remains in our books. We also plan to have 600 WASPs that would reach, where we would reach the beneficiaries through the ICRO program. And in terms of achievement, we went to 685 WASPs where we are able to engage with the beneficiaries and process applications and also do reviews or any other service that the beneficiaries would have required. We were also able to do plan. We had planned to do beneficiary education with for 600 beneficiary education programs. And in terms of implementation, we were only able to achieve 544, which is 91% achievement. We had planned to have 40 Migonzo service delivery interventions conducted across the country. We managed to do 42 service delivery interventions that were conducted through Migonzo program. In terms of inquiries, we were planning to have 80% of the inquiries resolved within 5 days as per the customer care charter, and we were able to achieve that. On the public awareness program, we had planned to conduct 1,000 public awareness programs. However, we ended up achieving 1.8, and this was necessary because as we were engaging with the new program, there was more demand for us to start to engage more with the beneficiaries. In terms of the large pay points, we had sampled the identified the large pay points where we would ensure that we monitor them accurately, and we were able to achieve 99.67% of this. One of our targets was to ensure that the average cost of administering social assistance programs remain within the 44 rand average. The average cost went down, was 34 rand each actually, so this was achieved. And the other target was to have the administration cost as a percentage of social assistance transfer below 5.1%, and we also managed to achieve that because the administration cost is sitting at 5%. On the other target that we were working on was the issue of Regulation 26.1 deductions to ensure that it's enforced within SASSA. This was achieved. The model for the management of Regulation 26A was developed for both existing and new mandates were collected and approved. SASSA was able to phase out CPS services in relation to Regulation 26A. We started doing it from last year, and we also ensured that the total number of beneficiaries that are registered is 723,348, and we are managing that in-house, and we do the deductions before we release the payment file to SAPO or to any pay banks. By the time it goes there, we would have effected the deductions within SASSA, and we manage the mandate, and we have identified some of the exceptions that were done previously within the CPS environment, and we are busy cleaning them. One of the targets was that we will open a corporate account for the management of social grants. And this was done. Our account is sitting with the South African Reserve Bank, so we don't transfer beneficiaries' money through any bank or whoever. We do it through our own account, and this helps us to be able to do reconciliation, but also to have control and management as SASSA. So we don't give SAPO lump sum payments. We do debit into the accounts of the beneficiaries ourselves. In terms of current service provider being CPS to be phased out, obviously, we, with the cash payment services, we will not be able to phase out CPS, but by the end of the financial year, we had managed to take over a number of services from CPS, and that includes the direct transfers to bank beneficiary regulation 26A, biometric enrollment, and we had appointed support to assist us on electronic payments, and CPS only stayed to deal with the small percentage of beneficiaries. The other target was to have data migrated from CPS to SASSA. All biometric data can confirm that it has been migrated to SASSA. The only information that sat with CPS at the end of the financial year was the information relating to cash beneficiaries. In addition, we were able to load the information on our system. In addition, there's still data that is going to come now at the end of the contract, and this will be include the transaction log so that we can have the business intelligence around how beneficiaries have been moving between phases. In terms of phasing in the new service provider of social grants, by the end of the financial year, we had already developed the phase-in and phase-out plan, and again, SAPO was already phased in. We were in the process of phasing in SAPO in terms of electronic services, and then we could not finalize the agreement in terms of the cash payment, so we could not phase in the services of cash by the end of the financial year. In terms of the quarterly reports submitted to Constitutional Court, all the quarterly reports were submitted to the Constitutional Court. In addition, in November, the Constitutional Court gave further directives so that we can give monthly reports and we've been submitting all our monthly reports on monthly basis to Constitutional Court without fail. In terms of the alternative payment model being developed and approved, a new model was developed and was piloted in the different provinces, and that we are looking at the possibility of implementing it as we work with SAPO going forward. I'll give to the CFO to continue on the expenditure.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, and this acting CEO. I will be taking the committee through the spending that is linked to the performance information as presented by Mr. Ambu. The spending for the year 2017-18, under the compensation of employees, we have spent 95%. So out of the budget of 3.1 billion, we spent 3 billion rand. For the goods and services, we had an allocation of 3.9 billion. We managed to spend 3.7 billion, excluding a retained surplus. So if you add the retained surplus, we're spending at 101%, which is the amount that we spent. In terms of the transfers, we at 145%. For the non-cash items, which is your depreciation, which is get to expense, it's 130 million because all the assets are depreciated over the period. For the CapEx, we did spend an amount of 103 million rand. So if we were to really look at the amount that were transferred from DSD only, of 7.2 billion that was transferred to DSD, we have spent 6.9 billion of that transfer. So if we look at the actual transfer of 6.9 billion, the total expenditure, including that which is of the surplus of 289 million, we have spent 7.2 billion, which makes 100% of that. But if ever then I were to take out the surplus funding, then I would have spent 96%, which would be the 4% underspending of that. So the 554 million that is under retained cash surplus, it's what when we came at the beginning of the year, we said there were projects that we were undertaking under the retained surplus funding, which we did not spend all the money relating to those projects. Out of the 554 million, we managed to spend 289 million. So we had, if I take the transfer from DSD plus the retained surplus of 554 million, we're sitting at 7.7 billion. That is the amount that we're supposed to spend for the whole year. So it meant that actually we had a 7% underspending overall, which we look at the 93% that is there. Next slide. If we were to look in terms of the project, the program, the SASA has two programs, as the EM strategy has indicated. For program one, then program two. We allocated a budget of 4.5 billion. We spent 4.6 billion, and there was an over expenditure of 91 million. The 91 million is an amount that was spent from the retained surplus. So it is not necessarily an overexpenditure in terms of overexpenditure, because we're spending money from the retained surplus. So the bulk of the money that we used for the retained surplus was allocated to program two, because it's a core business of the agency. Under program one, which is administration, we allocated 2.6 billion. We spent 2.5 billion, and there was an underspending of about 81 million. Overall, when you look at the two programs, there's about 10 million over expenditure that one has to report to the committee. But of note is that the amount relating to the asset does not go through the income statement, because the spend is a balance sheet item. So that amount of 103, 130 million that was spent on assets does not come straight into direct budget in terms of that. Next slide. When we have to look at the compensation of employees, I've indicated that there's about 5% underspending on compensation of employees. The main reasons, primarily, there were positions that were not filled at the end of March. But honorable members will be able to realize that in the annual report, we did reflect that we have lost staff or there has been terminations of about 1,102 of employees that we have lost, and we only managed to appoint 506. So some of the people passed on, and some of the people resigned, and some of the people's contracts got terminated, and some of the people went on retirement. And therefore, the fluctuation in terms of the 5% under expenditure is linked primarily because of the staff movement for the year under review. But of importance is this, we do have positions at an executive management level that remain vacant, yet funded, which is the CEO's post, the EM corporate services post, the COO post, and the regional executive managers in the Limpopo province, Northern Cape, Free State, Mpumalanga, and Western Cape, and these are occupied on an acting capacity. On goods and services, we have found inefficiencies and in other instances. We have had an understanding around the issue of the consultants. This is primarily previously when we did the fraud investigation, we have always outsourced it to an external company. Currently, we're doing more work internally using the staff within fraud and compliance, and therefore the money that was initially used for the consultancy fee is now saved while we're beefing up the internal capacity to be able to really do the fraud engagement. You will have seen that during the performance information, there has been very much improvement around the investigation. Also, we have had to manage the communication, primarily the communication internally among the staff, not the communication to the beneficiaries. The one for the beneficiaries still went very well, but for the staff, we did manage to really follow the management and the use of telephone efficiently, because we do have a telephone management system. We do set a limit, and if you want additional limit, we have to really find a motivation and an appropriate level. We'll consider that. But also, we also need to look at the travel, because of that Treasury has given guidelines in terms of the traveling. We have to really follow through, and that's where the efficiencies came through under goods and services. The CEO in his opening did reflect in terms of the audit outcome. It did indicate that the financial statements for the year 2017-18 were fairly presented as the AG has indicated, except for the matter.
Just a minute. Honourable members, should we take this part of the report? Because it's what was presented by the AG to us. Should we allow them to make the same presentation, or should we end? Give me guidance. Honourable Matango, Honourable Mkhosi.
Chair, I think we should let SASSA present their side of the story, because
okay.
Obviously we will engage it, given the presentation that was done to us by AG.
What are you saying, Honourable Mkhosi? No, we want a different opinion.
No, mine is really more because if SASSA present what the AG said, I hope you will even assist us with, you will assist us with management later point if there were the recommendation that they did give you, how many are they? So they cannot just tell us what the AG said. Show us what did they give you.
Can we engage honourable members? Because basically when I was looking at the report, it's exactly what is coming from the AG, what was reported to us. It's not them, it's what the AG has said, also has presented to us in this report yesterday. So I wanted to check if do we allow them to present again what has been presented to us, or we continue with some of the editions. Honorable Masango.
Chair, I feel very strongly that we give them the opportunity to present, because the other yesterday, as the other, the NDN, whatever, they did go through the AG report, and we got their interpretation of what's going on, and we're still able to engage them.
Okay, Dave, there's something?
Yes, I've covered you.
You are covered. Honorable Mkhosi? It's just like you are defeated, honorable members. We wanted to get all the opinions. You see, honorable Masango, why I was raising that.
Yeah.
It's when it's what they are coming with is exactly what was presented. That there are no points that they are putting forward that have not been discussed yesterday by the AG. Unless otherwise, do you get my point? Honorable Mkhosi.
And I think your point must be taken. SASA cannot present the AG's report. The AG was here presented to us. For them, maybe they must assist us after we question them. Already the AG did sit down with them, and the AG went through with the report, and the AG told you that these are the areas that you need to focus on. You know, Chair? Because what I'm having here is what is here.
To get it, honourable members. Unless if there are additions that they are bringing forward to us, because this one, the presentation by the AG, is the summary of the annual report, and they are also coming with the same summary. So I'm trying to save time. If there's something that is not covered by the AG here in what they are presenting, then it will be something different. Honourable Masan.
Chair, I'm willing to be defeated, but I was calling for consistency.
Okay.
Yesterday we allowed the other entities to actually present the AG report and with their interpretation and the context that they were giving. But I'm happy to be defeated. It's fine.
Honourable Bev.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I think yesterday we gave the entities opportunity to present their report.
Mm.
But what you're saying now is the Chairperson, they actually replicating what the AG has told us in the executive plan. So I don't think we in the speech, we just like expressing. So I think for SASA to repeat what the agent said, we could rather have something mentally, you know, but not what the agent told us. Thank you for that.
Because if you remember also with the NTA and the department, they were giving us what the remedies that they are going to do in terms of doing what the AG has been recommended to them to rectify. So that's why I'm saying let's not repeat the whole thing that is there. Rather, we save time, we engage, because already we had an opportunity of a presentation from the Auditor General SA. Honourable members, we are then going to start with a... do you want to wrap up?
No.
Don't deal with the AG report. That's why I stopped you, because I didn't want you to get on that one. We already know all the details.
Maybe
we
can just deal with that.
Like to separate.
Or control measures,
then we can get there.
But
even the control measures, they were in
there before. Even your
control
measures, they were there. Okay, no, let's get to the control measures, but you must be fast, because there are some that might not have been covered here. Yes, I'm giving you 2 minutes.
Honourable Chair, to deal with the strategy to deal with the overturning the qualification. The qualification is embedded actually in three elements, and I'm just going to summarize them. The one portion of it is the completeness of irregular expenditure register, and this bullet indicate what we going to do to deal with, or which we're doing now to deal with the completeness of the register, because the register is the issue. So while we're doing the 2017-18 audit, other transactions have already taken place. So what we need to do now, we're busy actually now reviewing the transactions that were entered into between the 1st of April 2018 to the 30th of September across the whole organization. That bring anything that did not comply with legislation, they must come to the register. So that's what we're saying, the validation, it deals with it. all the contracts that we have must be reviewed. So you can't do anything to prevent irregular expenditure. If you have a contract, the only thing you can only disclose it. So that will deal with the completeness of the register. And also then we have already dealt with it because of the number of cases that we have which relate to irregular expenditure register. There are many. So we decided that instead of dealing with a spreadsheet where the consolidation becomes a problem across 10 regions, including head office, you have to really automate that process and bring it as an electronic so that from head office, you can have a desktop overview over what is going on in terms of the updating without giving them the regions to bring any information to you. So that deals with the completeness of irregular expenditure. So therefore, you will have seen that in the 2017-18, we dealt with two transactions that were, when we reported in 2016-17, we said, Chair, these are possible irregular expenditure. So we don't have a possible irregular expenditure for the year 2017-18. We looked at it and we said this is regular, we put it and it went there. So that would start from a clean slate because if you put it as a possible irregular expenditure, when you confirm it to be regular, it affects the year under review. So that is that. In terms of the prevention, few things that we're doing. One is that we have already started with an awareness campaign. We have called all the senior managers and managers across the region. I had a full day workshop in relation to the supply chain management, dealing with the prevention. Then we also elevated the financial misconduct, consequence management, because that's the only thing that you can really deal with it, to make sure that it's a deterrent. All new contracts, we have got an SCM compliance unit. That is it. Before you sign off a contract, it must go through that unit, SCM compliance unit. And we have already developed the dashboard and audit action plan to really remedy the situation. Building capacity, I've already indicated about the supply chain management. In terms of the condonation, we have already got a written confirmation from National Treasury. We engage with them and they give guidance in terms of how we need to deal with the condonation. And that we should settle in relation to the condonation. So if we do that, three elements, completeness of register, prevention, and also consequence management, that we should not be able to have any further qualification, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Honorable members, we will start with the process of engaging with the report from both. The other report, if you still remember, I said if you still have some few questions that you'd want to ask, you can do so, but within your 10 minutes. Within your 10 minutes, you must ask. Remember, your 10 minutes is the 10 minutes for discussions and also your questions. So I'm going to note hands, honorable members, of people who want to engage with the report. Honorable Abrams, you'll be number one. Honorable Masango, number two. Honorable Mokosi. Any other hands, honorable members, because I'm going to close it if there are if there are.
Take those first and then come back.
Come again?
Take those first and then
No. I am noting, I'm sharing very well. And I'm noting all the hands now. So that as we proceed, I'm giving you an opportunity to raise your hands. Okay, Honorable Kanile. Okay, Honorable Fandimere. And I will be the last one as a chair. So, Honorable Members, Honorable Beth, you've got your 10 minutes. This is how we're going to deal with it. You'll ask your questions, they respond. We'll go to the next person, ask the question, they respond. Because I want all the questions to be responded to. If you've got a follow-up question, it should be within your 10 minutes, the follow-up and the discussions thereof. You can continue, Honorable Member.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Let's start as I see it. I'd just like to add on the control measures. I'll start from the back. I think what is needed there is implementation and monitoring and evaluation. Thank you. If I can refer to page of the Auditor General's report, I'd like to ask SACSA that they need to... No. Thank you. It's my
my time in Sony's chairperson. Is it better?
Yes.
The internal fraud unit that you mentioned, is it successful? Because according to the AG's report, 33% of SASSA's allegations are not investigated. A follow-up on the KZN there. Then also local content if not compliant. So if you can also explain, you know, the consequences for not complying regulations and also not following the PPMA at most of the time. Then also that did not meet the AG saying suppliers submitted false declaration interests. And then also employees failed to disclose interest supplier. How is the consequent manager not following up on this? And my question that I've asked yesterday, which I'll repeat today, the consequent manager, is there consequences for the consequent manager? Because if something is not working, somebody else should account in report on that. Thank you. Then on page 72, it states there your qualified opinion, which is not good. Irregular expenditure, and I'm reading, I'm quoting. This was because the entity did not have adequate systems for identifying all irregular expenditure. How will SASSA make the life of the Auditor General very, very easy if they can just comply and adhere to all the regulations that are there? And I'm quoting, I was unable to determine whether any adjustments was necessary to balance off irregular expenditure stated of 1.72 billion in the financial statement. Then on page SASSA overspent by 100.1% of its allocated budget, which the presenter mentioned, and to achieve a target of 64%, the AG stated that the AG couldn't obtain sufficient and appropriate evidence, audit evidence in some instances. Again, how can the portfolio trust SASSA with the evidence that they've given the Auditor General that it is correct and it is trustworthy? Then I'll refer to page 76 again. 76. Again, it's not me, it's the AG. Internal control deficiencies. It states there that the matters reported below are limited to the significant internal control deficiencies that resulted in the basis for the unqualified opinion. Also, we need to know what are you going to do differently this year? Next, the leadership. It's also stated that the leadership did not oversee compliance with procurement and contract management regulations. What is leadership doing? Because leadership is running the ship. And what is the consequences for leadership not adhering? And also number 39, it says monitoring and review process on the completeness of irregular expenditure accounts was inadequate. And then also management did not properly review and monitor compliance to prevent non-compliance. Review and monitoring processes on performance reporting on the customer care system were inadequate. So most of these things was inadequate, and that is the Auditor General saying. And so my question to SASSA is, how did this all happen? Is management AWOL? Are they not doing what they're supposed to do? And thank you, Chairperson. There's so much I want to say. Thank you.
But we still have time.
Yeah, I know you, but...
Okay, maybe perhaps if
yeah.
you... Yeah,
we'll go back here.
I think stealing 30 seconds of Honorable Bev here, maybe you must also add on page 18, because I thought I was going to start with it. Can you briefly explain the organizational structure here? Because really, to me, it's not correct. You can't add with only those that are at the level of the branch. I think it's managed and below them. What's happening below them? Okay.
Thank you. If I can just, I remember now, one of the other questions. The acting positions also, I wanted to know, when will all these acting positions be filled? Because I've noted it's just Western Cape and in Gauteng province that is permanent. It's costing SASSA a lot. And then I also had a question that I wanted to know, and I'll have to come back to it because I've, Yes, I'll come back to it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. You can continue. Acting CEO, answer.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Remember, we can
oh,
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I will share the responses required with the team. I would want to indicate to the committee that the issue of receiving or getting the qualification or the outcome is definitely a concern, as I said in the opening statement. It is for that reason that on the three criteria that we presented, we want to intensify on. At least we had three focused areas to deal with it. In the past, there was no structured way of how do we deal with the irregularity that is happening. And particularly, in because most of the irregular expenditure is historical. In other words, it comes from prior years. And it looks at the deficiency, not necessarily of controls only, but of taking action in pursuance of those that have actually orchestrated those. This is what the CFO was trying to indicate, that we have that program in place to deal with the individuals. What we have experienced is that we have cases that now are stuck in the legal process. But before they get to the legal process in terms of recovery and consequence management, you have a situation where investigation happens, and in fact, where we are now, we have come to a point where we realize that some forensic audit is required to deal with certain irregularities that could have happened in the prior years, and we are busy, and the forensic capacity, we do not have it within the organization. This is what we are busy putting together to make sure that we source certain expertise to do the forensic. So it is definitely an issue, a work in progress, to deal with the consequence management, because as the CFO has said, if the consequence management is done, it is both a deterrent for the future happenings of such non-compliances. To be now specific to the questions that were raised in terms of the internal fraud unit and the issues in KZN of non-compliance, various investigations have been done in KZN. But we also realize that the fraud unit of the organization needs to be beefed up with capacity and in terms of skills and numbers. It does exist, but it is not fully capacitated. But there are disciplinary or consequence management that are ensuing with regard to the KZN non-compliances, in greater details. Internal audit reports have been done on those. And then require further investigations with regard to the reports after the internal auditors publicize them. So it is still work in progress with regard to that. And I'll ask the CFO to deal with the issue of the local content before we come to the issue of disclosure and the other.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. What we did not do in 2017-18, part of the local content that we found, we have realized that is the transactions that were undertaken during the period of the audit. And we did not go back to review all the transactions. Like now, we concluded the 17-18 around July 2018. There were already transactions that were undertaken at that particular point. And this is the process that I said we'll have to go back and look at all transactions that were done between April 2018 until the 30th of September, because it is the period in which the audit was underway. So if ever then you do not do it, by the time the audit comes for the interim audit, you will not have done your justice in relation to those transactions. Those transactions are largely during that period that were done, so when we track those transactions. But this year, what we're doing in the year 2018-19, we have already issued a directive that currently we are in the process of validating all transactions that were undertaken from the April 2018 to make sure that any transaction that has been incurred not in compliance with supply chain management must come into a regular expenditure register. So that will deal with completeness of the register. But it will not deal with the consequence. The second portion of it is the consequence management. And therefore, you'll have to really investigate. In Western Cape, in KZN, we have been challenged because of the investigations that we did consequence management without affording all the employees time to really presiding officers that to really run through that. And we went through the Financial Misconduct Board. And when we went on a review in the CMA, we have lost some of the cases and we have to really reverse back that process to be able to really undertake the full disciplinary process in relation to the corporate management, which takes a bit of time than what you would have done by calling an official and said, I don't like this. But then when you undertake a full disciplinary process, it takes a bit of time because there are a lot of administrative processes that you need to undertake to really conclude one particular case. So how are we going to deal with the issue of making AG's life easy? This is what we've done. The regular expenditure register is reinstated currently as we're speaking. So I've already got the team that is working with all the regions just to validate the existing transactions. Well, AG worked on a sample. So for us, we can't work on a sample. We have to work as individual transactions. Under regular expenditure transactions, there's about 1,300 of those transactions that we'll have to really work through them. So we have to go each one and look at the document and say, yes, it is irregular, it is correct, and classify it as such. So when they come now for the interim audit, the first thing that we're going to do is to present the AG with an updated regular expenditure, and they must confirm that it is complete. The second portion of it is dealing with the preventative measures. So you must put more emphasis on prevention so that the cases must not increase. So when you deal with the backlog of the cases that you have, you must not incur any additional cases that you need to do. And hence we establish the SCM unit, that's called SCM compliance unit. When a tender process or whatever has been done, before the accounting officer or the REM approves of that transaction, an independent unit must look at that transaction to say there is no oversight that was done in relation to that, and that will bring assurance to that. For 2017-18, most of the areas that were found wanting is the quotation process, rather than the normal tender process, the quotation process. And what we did now was to tighten the pre-audit and the post-audit of those transactions to make sure that we prevent it. It must not happen. But if it happens, it must be disclosed appropriately. So the AG, when they come, they'll find a new and updated regular expenditure register. We're also going to be doing the electronic one. We've already engaged with the ICT to really finalize a module that will be able to really draw reports from head office rather than for them to email spreadsheets, because you may have spreadsheets and another spreadsheet and you get confused in the consolidation process, which in other instances happen actually during the time when we finalize the financial statement. So this time around, I want a single. We want a single regular expenditure, which is electronic, which you can draw it and the AG can validate it. And that will be able to deal with it. The AG was helpful with the whole financial statement except the regular expenditure in terms of the completeness, and primarily because of the consolidation process and the transactions that were happening in other regions. We're currently strengthening the oversight. I've already got a schedule of team that are going across the regions. For myself, we have already convened, unfortunately the CEO was outside of the country at the time. We have convened every senior manager, every manager in the organization to a workshop. So that's basically what we say. Prevention and consequence management is the main thing to do.
Thank you. Can we go on?
Thank you, Chairperson. Did they respond to the vacancy?
Please come into that.
Thank you, Chairperson. There was also a question with regard to the 64% achievement versus the 101 expenditure. And we have a situation where our performance management system does not round off performance. In certain instances, Chairperson, had we had the performance management system allowing a 99% to be achieved, probably would not have come at a percentage that is far departed from the actual expenditure. But there's nothing much we can do, and that's why we indicated in detail which ones were EMBA, which were missing a target by 2%, 1%, and so on. But the expenditure, in terms of even finalizing 8 deliverables before, the end of the financial year, we find that it will still make you not achieve, even if you have actually already paid the contract or some other expense. So it is something that worries us, and we are working on it to improve that particular element of performance management and reporting. There was an issue of the org structure as to when will it be finally
filled, particularly the vacant positions. Yes, when the new minister was appointed, she wanted to take a review of the whole organizational structure, which would have included the issue of skills audit to make sure that with the transition coming, we get the appropriate matching. But we have not finalized that. And the latest progress we've made is that by the end of March, at least, we would have had most of the executive positions in place. This is what we're trying to work towards, Chairperson.
The last question.
Thank you, Chairperson.
It's not a new one, eh? No, you don't have a time. I thought that they have not answered your all of your questions.
Okay.
So all of them are answered. Honorable Masango.
Thank you, Chair. I think it helped that the colleagues have asked questions because I have largely been covered. But what I wanted to maybe state was that as far as the AG report is concerned, was that when they went to what they thought were the root causes of especially things like your irregular expenditure and all those things, it has been covered here, and one is comforted by the fact that the issue of controls is being mentioned, because, and also the issue of this possible irregular expenditure, that it's not going to happen now. It's going to be either irregular or it's not. Is that what you were saying? Because some of the things that were mentioned yesterday that were frightening. One is hearing a message that those things will not happen, such as, for example, where there was and I asked it at the wrong forum yesterday, I asked it from the department when I was supposed to have waited for today, the issue of the 232 million rand that was returned to Treasury because SASSA was late in applying for its retention or something like that. I hope I'm putting it right. One would like to know things like that, that those things will not happen anymore. There's more stronger sort of controls that are going to be in place to deal with those things. But Chair, if you allow me, I want to go back to the previous, because you said we can bank our questions for this session. There was a situation last that, as far as the beneficiaries were concerned, where the minister said to us, Minister Shabangu said to us, the Grindrod Bank had gone and taken 10 rand from people. And they just went and took the 10 rand. Nobody knew about this. But that she was challenging it. I would like to know how far the challenge is, because we've been getting people who are saying that my money is short by, and what is going to happen to those people, to those 10 rand? Because, I mean, for some of them, it's a huge amount, especially because now with the choices that they've made of where they're going to get their money, they need transport money and things like that. So for a 10 rand to just go like that, one would like to know what is going on with that 10 rand. And Chair, I want to go to the ICROP thing. When one looks at the irregular expenditure, I was trying to link the two. On the performance side, the presentation was we outperformed ourselves on the ICROP. You went over 140-something% or something. But on this side, ICROP is an issue. It was irregular expenditure. So you actually use irregular expenditure to do so well. It just doesn't make sense. But because it's not nice that throughout the presentation yesterday of the AG, SASSA was the one that has regressed more than the other entities, and the irregular expenditure has gone much higher at SASSA. And Chair, while I'm at that point, there are things here that were established during 2006 which are still under consideration. Are the people that are considering these things, that these things are considered about,
still existing wherever they are. I mean, it just doesn't make sense that we have such big numbers where things are still under consideration, still under consideration, still under consideration throughout. And are we ever going to do something about this irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure to come to a stage where the CFO was rightly saying he wants this thing to be over and done with now? What is being done about this, Chair? I would like to know that. And of course, the SRD thing. Apparently, SRD is managed at the department, but SASA is using it, and then there's things going all sorts of ways. And can one just please have some information on this? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you for the presentation.
Okay, thank you. Can you respond to her questions? And okay. Can we try to be straight to the point and avoid the three members?
Thank you, Chairperson. I would ask the CFO to cover the one with regard to the returned money to the Treasury and the old cases. What I would like to respond to now is about the Green Road case of 10 rand. We looked for legal opinion about it.
Mm-hmm.
We found that we as SASA necessarily cannot take up the matter as a legal challenge to Green Road for on behalf of the beneficiaries. And then we got Blacksash coming to say they rather are going to take the matter, we become friends to their case to the court in trying to represent the people, because the argument was more around a bank and a client. Yes, the person became a client after they were our beneficiary in terms of where they got the money, but what they entered into after that technically becomes the business of the client and the bank. However, that case is still underway. We couldn't directly challenge it. This is the legal opinion that we got, but Blacksash is pursuing it, and we are going to be jointly pursuing it together with them. So this is where we are with the Tendrand case. CFO?
Thank you very much, CEO. The 232 million that was returned was the matter of interpretation of a circular guidance from National Treasury, which said we needed to calculate and be able to say whether we have any retained surplus or not. In the year 2015-16, when we calculated, it had a nil balance because of the formula that SASA did not agree with National Treasury around it. So the discussion prolonged probably over a year while we were engaging with each other about it. And subsequently, they changed the calculations from National Treasury to realize that it was wrong the way they were calculating. However, they wanted us to have applied that wrong calculation. So it will not necessarily happen again in relation to that. It was just primarily because of that calculation. The long outstanding cases that relate to irregular expenditure, and I could just quickly give an update of them. The 316, we already know that we're waiting for the Supreme Court of Appeal. Mm-hmm. So once that matter is dealt with and we get a final verdict, because we did issue a demand to CPS and they did indicate that no, we have appealed the decision.
Mm-hmm.
So we're waiting for that process to be concluded in relation to that. For the 419 million relating to physical security, we have already engaged with National Treasury. They have returned back to us and said we must also get a view whether or not there were any criminal element around it. I've already asked the fraud unit within SASA internally to look at this matter and be able to make a recommendation. If they believe that indeed there could be element, we're going to get back to Treasury for Treasury to really say yes, we believe there was criminal issues, and then we'll report that to the police, and we'll wait for that process to be concluded. If there is none, we're going to go back to the Treasury to engage with them further. to conclude with a condonation because SASSA can't condone that transaction. The 353 million relating to the office accommodation, we do know that actually there's an appeal now and the presentation to the constitutional court about the individuals that were found guilty of that trifecta. So we'll await a court process to deal with that matter. So in relation to the one for SAPNT, we're already concluding it in this regard. We're engaging actually with National Treasury to really deal with the condonation. The one that is under investigation is the one for the West Streams because we have to present Treasury with the final report. And that's basically that we need to be dealing with it. I think compounded with the developments that just have happened around the West Streams, you'll have to really get a person to look at all the issues relating to it before you can conclude with it. The 16 million that has been coming from 2015-16, which was possible reverse expenditure from that, we allowed ourselves to look at that transaction again, and we found that, yes, it is regular. We'll have to really investigate and deal with it. So there's a dedicated team that we have agreed to look at the material cases in terms of the value, to be able to conclude on them, because if we don't, the regular expenditure increases. So it's a cumulative figure. So it's not something that happens in the year in concern. Like now, we know that in 2017-18, the regular expenditure was 224 million. That was only that. But because of the previous irregular expenditure, it's reported to be at 1.7 billion because it is cumulative. So we are focusing primarily in dealing with those cases, and that's where we are. So we can promise and say to the committee, we are focusing on those cases so that we can conclude our engagement with National Treasury.
Yes, Chairperson, the one on ICROP, we did investigate once we got information about the ICROP, and then we have suspended this contract. We are in court now with that. So after the issue of ICROP, how it was used in the region, then we suspended the contract. Then they are taking us to court, and we are responding. But over and above that, we are now going into not only audit report, but investigation onto the individual people that were part of the actual transaction, particularly in KZN. So we are defending the issue of them trying to take us to court as to why did we suspend the contract. We suspended it sometimes in May.
Are you investigating the officials that were involved in the contract? Or I want us to get the point in the awarding of the contract.
Yeah, we are investigating a whole range of the value chain from the part of the people that were participating, if it was quotations, and if it the actual company is under investigation itself, to the extent that there could have been some misrepresentations, either at membership level, disclosure was not correct, and so on. So the process does not focus on the transactional recovery of the money or contract cancellation, but the actual people that were participating in the value chain at one point, then the actual company itself.
Okay, I want us to be a little bit on the issue of the contract, honorable members. Mm-hmm. If there are questions from even others on the matter now, mm-hmm. can you maybe follow up so that we exhaust the part, because I think it's very important. Mm-hmm. Honorable Masawa, also if you have something, because you raised it. So can we just, if there is something that you want to follow it up on the issue of the contract, because I also didn't pick up how much are we talking about, and perhaps how much has already been paid before you stop the contract, so that we at least the members have the know-how. And there's nothing wrong in you disclosing even the name of the company to the portfolio committee, because actually we're the ones that are appropriating the fund. So we have to be concerned if the funding is not used as it's supposed to be used. Okay. Anything members on this matter, or I've covered you, then they can answer it. Honorable Mkhosi.
In fact, I don't know whether I would continue this. Mine was around the CIDB, and the issues of the CIDB went with contracts. So I don't know if I upset or wait for my turn to ask issues of the CIDB.
Okay, let's wait for your turn. Okay. Honorable Masang.
Chairperson, I think my comfort comes from the fact that the CEO and all the presenters have just said things will be done differently. Because if you remember, it was said that there is just widespread flouting of policies at SASSA, that the people are just bypassing. There was even a word mentioned of bypassing of, or that somebody at a higher position just bypasses the one under them and they just go and do whatever they feel like. And at the end of the day, this comes to this committee under the title of, under the very regrettable title of irregular expenditure. And by that time, the money has been spent. And Chair, if we don't make sure that now, starting from a mention was made of starting at a new slate, let us look at the things that are happening now and ensure that we don't flout those SCM was mentioned, procurement was mentioned. It's just like everybody just does as they please, and at the end of the day, we're sitting with this irregular expenditure and things like that. So, yeah.
Okay, you can continue.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll ask the CFO with regard to how much has been spent on the company, but the company that is under, and you know, we are at court with, is a company called Azande.
Azande.
Thanks
for hearing.
Honorable Chair, we have spent 277 million on High Court over since the inception of the.
You have spent 277 million on High Court.
On High
Court. Only on this company. On the whole.
Yeah, on the
Okay. Can you finish
the
answer?
Give him the answer. Of about 400 million, so we did manage to stop.
The last one I would ask the CFO also to just comment on is the issue of the SRD being managed on the issue of SRD being managed elsewhere and then expense elsewhere.
Thank you, Chairperson. SASSA has a dedicated budget that is allocated to us with the grant money every year for the social relief program. And we provide social relief in terms of the Social Assistance Act. So it's very structured. There is a policy. The criteria, the qualifying criteria is very set. The amount of money that we were given was 600 million rand for last year. This year it was reduced to 410. The difficulty comes in, particularly at a provincial level, where the Department of Social Development has an allocation that they refer to as social relief, but it is not managed in terms of the Social Assistance Act. So they then can distribute it without necessarily having to revert to SASSA at all, or in terms of the requirements that we have. And that is the challenge, and I know National Treasury has been looking at it quite seriously, because they were very concerned about the different pots of money effectively targeting the same group of people. But we don't have control as SASSA over the budget that is in provincial departments of social development. We can only account for the budget that is allocated for us. And as I said, that last year was 600 million.
Honourable members, you'll remember also on this point it was raised yesterday. And you'll remember we took a resolution also on it, that we need treasury, we need all those relevant stakeholders in one room and see how best we can change the legislation, if we have to change the legislation. So we are going to pass it. Can we continue?
Yes, the last part was the CIB. Is the CIDB CFO?
The CIDB, this was incurred primarily on one where we have used a contractor that is not in the correct class of work. So you find that you have used a person who's a general builder to do electrical work. And we also used, in person not in the right category. So if ever then you said you are accredited to be at this particular level, then you will use a different company at a different level or lower than what is required. So that was the element. If you look at the 2017-18 financial, you will see that CIDB is about 2.8 million. That's what we've done. But when we checked it, we found that these are the transactions that were incurred during the time of the audit. So we didn't go back to really check every maintenance. This is the process that we're undertaking now, to check whatever has been done during the time of the audit, which affect the current year. So that's the issue in relation of the CIDB. But the training happened. It was in 2017, around August, when we did the training. So at that particular point, we're already late in terms of the other transactions that have already incurred before the training. So we did have CIDB coming to train us. We also have, in terms of local contact, getting the DTI coming to train us. But the training happened after the transactions have already been incurred. So we don't expect this to be perpetual and going forward, because already we've done the training in relation to the 11 people in supply chain management and also in relation to facility management.
Follow up on the matter, CIDB.
Chair, I think SASA needs to assist us. When we talk about issues of CIDB, it's where the supply chain is. If you come with a tender or whether it's a quotation, there's a specification. The specification is clear, e.g., if you want books, you can't take somebody from electrical board with the CIDB from electrical board maybe to come and tender for the books or general whatever. So, Chair, is the issue of risk. And you don't monitor, because the specification is very clear whether it can be quotation of 30 days. The CIDB stating clearly. You can't take somebody in a general building, umthatho, umise ko food, you know? So it shows that there's no monitoring. I don't take it. Whether there was a training or what, and the supply chain need to see this. And another thing we need to know, from which province these things occurred, because we have 9 provinces, and maybe all of your provinces, I don't know whether your supply chain is decentralized to the head office or the provinces are doing that for themselves. But if they are happening in the province, there's no monitoring, CFO.
Okay, that was a comment. Okay, can we go on? All the questions have been answered. Honorable Masango, you satisfied?
Yes.
We are on Honorable Mokhosi now.
My questions are finished, Chair. But the understanding in terms of compensation of employees is wrong. How do you define this? I think, Sasa, you surround yourself only on the grant payment, which is your call. But when it comes to the issue of human capital, you forgot other people. Human capital is part of the organization and is they are drivers of your strategy. But if you focus only on the grant payment, that you have achieved issues of paying the grants and everything, then you forget the cleaner. There's a problem with you. What the chair said in terms of organizational structure is very poor. You can't have only an organizational structure that focuses only on the management. What are you saying about other branches? Where are you locating the risk? Where are you locating the audit committee? So we must go to the notes. Some of us didn't go to school. So when you open the structure, I want you to locate to see, okay, under the branch of corporate service, I can see there's a chief director or maybe there's a director of HR. You know, so it's not there. So you must come to the site and read the notes. Maybe in the near future, these are the things. Go to social development, go and check their structure, how it is. It shows you how many human capital are there on the structure. But the issue of compensation of employees, I don't understand if the 95%, why the 5% was not filled? The unemployment is high, poverty is very high. What are you saying that? And you only focus it on the managers. So are you telling me this 5% is only for the managers? So you don't have any of the support staff under or the assistant directors. I don't know how the structure is. So it's only chair, there are 5%, it's only on the strategic. It's only on you that are coming to parliament. So they're not thinking about that. 5% is huge. Maybe next time when you come to us, come and tell us our your employment rate. Because when they say 5%, it doesn't define to us that employment rate. Show us the employment rate, where it is. And then maybe you must come next time, maybe with a corporate service manager, somebody that will understand what you are doing. Thank you.
You know, when I was looking at the structure, I just counted all of them. So, oh, it's only those that are here who are working in SASA. The rest are not here, except those 9 managers from their regions. So then I concluded that we don't have any other staff members below you. So, like Memkos is saying, just look at how SASA and we don't want the names of the people, but at least you want to know under this branch, how many are they? And perhaps the vacancies, where are they located, those vacancies? Because if you have all the structure in full, we'll be able to know that, okay, the vacancies, most of them are within the financial management. And it's strategic, then we are able to see where we can post that are supposed to be prioritized, because there is a process of reprioritization of posts. So it's going to help us as honorable members. Please, let's try next time to do that so that we can see who is here, who is not supposed to be here. And perhaps Zodo has gone back, is she in a position and so on. We want all those things. Thank you very much. That was on a lighter note. Can you respond on Memkos?
Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to the organogram, I take the comment. We will elaborate on it and take it out of the table and actually put it properly. I think here we were too abbreviated. We abbreviated the organogram, and we apologize for that. But in the future, we'll take the tables that are in the report and actually plot them accordingly and show the vacancy rate and as to where they are actually existing, so that we don't have to get the members page from one area to the other looking for information. Thank you.
We are through with Memo Hotsi. Can we get you Mekanile?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm covered.
This is very nice. This is a very progressive meeting. Mekanile, I hope you are also covered. Okay, you can continue.
No, in fact, I am largely covered. And I also want to say that I think our members of the committee have spoken very eloquently and effectively on the issue of what the Auditor General raised. But the fact of the matter is, Chairperson, if one looks at what the Auditor General says, one would be forgiven for thinking this is a rogue department and that it doesn't comply with legislation. Because fact of the matter is, in every instance, you know, if you just take some snapshots, it says financial management regressed, challenges in preparing financial statements, performance management regressed, no improvement in procurement and contract management, material findings, compliance regressed. You know, so it's a bit painful to hear those things. And as much as we've listened to you in terms of the proposals, things have to change. And it cannot be that, you know, when we speak to you, we engage with you throughout the year, and then come the Auditor General report, and it's so damning. So you know, one hears your explanations, and some of these irregular expenditure has been for outstanding for many years. But I thought maybe I would ask that, you know, in terms of, because you flagged that, you know, in some of these instances there are investigations ongoing, you know, so I was thinking that maybe in future, Chairperson, we can be furnished with reports, so that if there's a specific amount outstanding or, a specific issue that has been flagged by the Auditor General, that we get regular reports in terms of where investigations are, so that we can do our oversight and stay on top of the issues, because it's no good that we're saying matters will be addressed, and then come next year and we find that these issues have not been resolved. So I think in terms of all of the issues that are listed on page 12, you know, if we can get regular reports in terms of where investigations are, or, you know, where you are in terms of resolving some of these issues. I also wanted to say, in terms of some of the goods and services that were procured without inviting a competitive bid, for example, your supply chain manager, you know, You know, also those type of information, for example, who's being held for, you know, accountable for these instances. I think consequence management is really lacking, and maybe if the department can regularly update us on, you know, in a concise report about investigations and where you are. I wanted to add on the issue of, I see many people got performance bonuses on page 66. There's a table there, you know, and it's always interesting for me that when a department or an entity has not met all its targets, you get so many performance bonuses. But maybe you can tell me how you identified those 2,292 people for the performance bonuses, what criteria were used. I'm also interested to know whether you can tell me how many people with disabilities are employed by SASSA, because in some other annual reports you do find those numbers. Because it's critical, because I think most state entities and most government departments are not complying with the 2% of people with disabilities target. So maybe if you can just give me that information, and then I think I am covered for now. I also wanted to ask on the issue of bank costs, which the Honourable Masango had raised. I know that there were Treasury negotiations previously or some talks about engaging with Treasury about subsidising the bank costs of people who have gone to big banks where they pay huge amounts of money. And I think the cries are often that, you know, I used to get 1,600 rand and now I'm minus 50 rand. But before I say thank you for the opportunity, I just quickly wanted to maybe just on the issues of the challenges that our SASSA grant beneficiaries are experiencing, I just wanted to give you a snapshot. As we were sitting here, I just got this email, and it's from a pensioner, and she says that she got a new SASSA card on the 19th of July from the post office in Strand, and it was working. On the 4th, she tried to use it, and she was told that, or 4th of September, she tried to use it at a ShopRite, and she was told that the PIN is inaccurate. She then went back to the post office, and she was told to go to SASSA at the town hall. When at SASSA, they actually then sent her to the Home Affairs in Somerset West, where she was told to get new fingerprints, and she must sort out a new fingerprint and a new PIN. At Home Affairs in Somerset West, she was told to get a new ID, and then she was sent back to the post office, and she's still unable to use her card. And this is a pensioner, and I'm just highlighting this because I get many of these instances where people are really, and you know what happened the other day actually? Somebody insulted me and started swearing at me because, you know, people really feel that they've been sent from pillar to post in some instances. I know it's not happening everywhere, but it does happen where pensioners stand in long queues and they get to the front and they're sent somewhere else and somewhere else and somewhere else. So I just wanted to raise this as an issue of, you know, we really need to make sure that in both the post office and SASSA offices that people are receptive and understanding of people's challenges. So if I can just also just highlight that. But I will be sending you this email there. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much. Honourable members, again, on the point that Honourable Fandimero has raised, I would really, I think in previous meetings, two or three meetings, I requested that let's have the numbers of the SASSA executives, including even those of the province. Because issues like the one that you are raising, I do come across those issues. And what I do when I'm there in the post office, I call them immediately. Mm-hmm. And what they do really, the SASSA, like I always call men. If I don't get the Demasango, I know the next one will be here. I even bypass my province. I bypass the province because sometimes I know the national one, they respond immediately. And I would request them to say, okay, these people, they do not have money to go to town to do all of those, because coming from where my constituency is to the SASSA offices, you have to pay 10 rand and 10 rand in return. So I always request them, bring a SASSA official, and within a space of 30 minutes, a SASSA official will come there and assist them. Because what I realized, when they put on the numbers, you must remember old people, when they put on the numbers, the first time that he would not put the right PIN, then the card will block. Mm-hmm. The card will tell her that it's not the right PIN. Mm-hmm. When then she will go inside in the post office, she would need the assistance there. Mm-hmm. Normally, it's only SASSA people who can reset again, mm-hmm. if they are there. So let's try to get the numbers, and if possible, really, let's say, let the SASSA person come here, because they are using the government card. They are not using their own card. So those problems are there, isolated as they are, but we need to really assist in terms of... if you don't get them, honorable members, you can also call the chairperson. Remember, we said it last time, if we don't get them in these areas, we don't get the SASSA people, call chair. Chair can even talk to the minister directly, and then the minister will have to dispatch a team. Because already 10 rands is too much for a person to pay to go just for a fingerprinting and so on and so on. Luckily, in my constituency, almost everything is, Home Affairs is just next door. If they got a problem with Home Affairs, remember Home Affairs has got long queues also. This person will also complain that there's a long queue in Home Affairs. How would I go there and in Home Affairs? I take them along and bypass the lines. Because this is an old person, we're talking about old people, and we don't want really for them to be stranded for the whole day. So I would really appeal, honorable members, let's keep on doing that, because it's yielding results when we intervene. They insult us, really. That is correct. There are officials that are very rude. There are officials that are very rude, especially if you're speaking to them on the phone, because they don't know who is the person at the other end. But once you tell them that, I am so-and-so and I'm coming after you, I'm telling you, they begin to change the attitude. But I even said the last time, I don't have to tell people my title. For me to get a service, I have to say I'm the Member of Parliament. No, I want to get a service or to assist a person to get a service, basically because I'm the citizen of this country. I live in this country. So that's what we are experiencing. I think as we are now beginning to take this thing within SASSA, within SAPO, it's one of the issues that you need to highlight, to train. But the principle of Batupili, is not there. It was difficult for a CPS person to talk to a CPS person because that person does not care about you, he's not even employed by government, so there's nothing that you can do. But with this one, let's get the name and do everything. I go as far as Alwal North. Whenever there are problems, one of the members who has got a constituency in Alwal North will always call me to say there is a problem in Alwal North. Luckily, when I go home in the Eastern Cape, I pass by Alwal North. Then I'll get to the SASSA offices in Alwal North. I can sit down and tell you the attitude that was there before I introduced myself to say now I'm a member of parliament. But just for them to see me, there was an attitude because they don't know who is this person. Immediately when I was saying I come from parliament, then everybody now will stand up, and even they will want to offer you a glass of water. You know, we can't be in this country when you have to get a service. You have to use your title, then you can get a service. You can imagine what's happening to my mom, who is a pensioner, because I'm not there. So for my mom, for her to get a service, she has to say, my daughter is in parliament. Then my mom can get a service, or my granny can get a service. No. That's not how it's supposed to be done. Honourable Master.
Chair, I just wanted to, on this point in particular, I just wanted to add my voice to saying what you are saying, that we must ask, we must get in touch with SASSA is actually happening and it's helping so much. I sometimes get very scared, you know, to keep sending the communication that one gets, and it gets attended to very, very quickly, and I really would like to thank the SASSA people here that handle those things. My biggest thing that I always worry about, and this is because of my rural upbringing, is that these are the people that are able to call us and tell us this. What happens to that gogo out there who doesn't even know, they go there, they don't get their money, oh, maybe government didn't want to give it to me today, and so they go home, and which is sad, because actually when we contact SASSA, they deal with issues, they arrange home visits, they do everything that we ask to help, until there's nothing to help, maybe, but the point you are making, it really reminded me to be able to thank the team, to say, we do get help, and people there appreciate. When we do get time, we do send the message back to say, here they are saying, you are God sent, you are an angel, you are this. And I take all the credit because I'm the one that's coming.
They even pray for you. They pray for me. That day, there was a lot of problems. When I got in there, I just said, give me your ID. And then I'll send the ID to Rapasa. Immediately, the answers are here that your money, because they were... Some who didn't get the money,
yeah.
And they thought that the money has been stolen.
Yeah.
Then immediately the ID will be put in, the person, she will come back and say, the money is still there. And you can see, I mean, I got so many blessings.
Yeah.
I was prayed for.
Yeah.
And there you can imagine, the blessings are coming to me because I'm God sent. Now their problems are being attended on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
That's how appreciative are our people.
Yeah.
Our people, what they need, honorable members, is just to say, let's answer the question first, and then I'll give you, honorable members, to come with your confessions in this beautiful church. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. We should have started with this one and ended with the other one. But Chairperson, we really appreciate the feedback that comes through, and let me try and answer to the point, the issue of bonuses. The performance management the granting of bonuses is based on a committee system where people sit and evaluate the performance of the individuals, and then but largely these that are here are those of taking check nature, which is not board based on evaluation of any sort, and not that you are proud of anything here, but at top management, because of the challenges that SATA is facing. Really, there was no reason that anyone can even attend to grant any bonuses for top management. But also to the committee, with all the concerns that they raised, probably because of the transition and preoccupation about this, certain things really, I must admit that were not really given the attention. And this is what we'll have to zoom in as we begin to reorganize SASA and take it to the future. Some of the things really, preoccupation was trying to deal with the multiple orders on us, trying to meet them and so on, but some of the things are suffering, and we admit that we could have done better in that regard. But we do really want to promise to the committee that in the next reporting cycle, we'll be able to bring up to date the matters that you've raised in terms of investigation, cases, consequence management, and so on. We will definitely do that, honorable committee members. I think that is it that I wanted to comment on with regard to.
Do you know the rights of people with disabilities?
Or the NAP?
Oh, okay.
69.
It's 80 and 79. 80
male.
80 for male. And
what is the percentage of your?
1.8.
So below the 2%.
Yeah.
Okay. But will SASA be making an effort to see that you reach the 2%?
Is there?
Sorry,
I'm still sharing.
No. Oh, it's my follow-up.
If I didn't give you the opportunity.
I've been
you speak
proactive.
To the chair. Okay, can you respond?
Yes, as I indicated, Chairperson, that it is below the 2%. Yes, there is an attempt to employ people with disability and so on. And the critical area that normally helps to meet that target, per se, in the operations of an organization is the call center. We are also working on the reorganization of the call center, and mostly most people with disability are fitted because the economics in the call center can be shifted to fit the kind of people. But we are not there yet, because as I said, that perhaps certain strategic reorganization and review has really suffered because of the preoccupation with what we are doing now. But we are definitely taking note of that, and we should deal with that.
Yeah, I think you should prioritize that, including gender.
Yes.
Because we cannot always have these two women coming here.
Yes.
Give them, I always say, even if people are not in the senior management, they are in the junior management, you give them an opportunity once to come for a person to experience how questions are asked here in Parliament. The next time again, you bring another one just for them to get the feel, so that one day when they apply to these positions,
they at least know what is going on in Parliament. If we don't do that, we will always say that women lack capacity. Who is supposed to capacitate them? Those that are already on top should give them exposure for them to come and be able to experience what is happening in Parliament. Including on the issue of disability, I tell you, go out and look for them. Scout them. And if you have to prioritize, there are a lot of people who got disabilities who are highly educated. When I was in the province with the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, I think he is the only CFO in South Africa who was deaf. And he was doing very well. Very, very well. He had clean audit throughout the 5 years that I was chairing in the legislature. That gentleman had clean audit. And he was able to come to the portfolio committee and present. So they are there. Let's go out and try and look for them in this strategic position. We can't always give them call centers and all those things. Let's try. Let's go out. Let's go out and expose them. We are not doing very well as a country in terms of disability. And you should be leading, because that is exactly strategically placed within social development. Social development and these entities should be the ones that are leading in terms of making sure that we achieve that. Do we still have some questions? No, not questions, new questions, honorable members. I'm saying questions that have not been answered. Okay. No, not new questions. Your questions have been all answered. Yes, thank you. Honorable members, this is an opportunity for you because we wanted to comment, all of you to comment. We are not going to take new questions, honorable members. We are not going, you know, flights to Free State, they are like Ibasese's Lalin. Sekuseni Namachol. Then the Gauteng people are covered. Yourself also is there in Durban. Your flights are like Ibasese's Lalin to Cape Town. So...
But I've got a small
Nyana
question.
As long as it's not a small Nyana skeleton, please.
No, we don't have those in this department.
Okay.
I wasn't saying anything, but off the record. Yeah. I wanted to ask quickly, in the Auditor General report on page 17, fruitless and wasteful expenditure was as a result of hotel no-shows. Interest, penalties, and litigation claims. I was very interested in that hotel no-shows because, I mean, it's untenable that you book hotels and you pay for them and staff don't pitch up. So, you know, 419,000 there. So also I think in that report that we need in terms of investigations, I think we need to name and shame people who waste taxpayer money. Thank you.
Yesterday you were not here. It has been covered. All what you are asking is going to be presented.
Yes, I would just say they must be included in that report.
Yeah, it's also all what you are saying, the names and shaming them and the amount and everything, we have already requested it. That we want to know who laid it, the amount, and how are they going to recover it. We said a lot on that matter. Okay, honorable members, comments. Honorable Deb, you wanted to say a comment?
Thank you, honorable Chairperson. My comment is on a lighter note, what you said about confession time. I just wanted to say, can you imagine if SASSA had to assist the Gogos and everybody in South Africa the way they assist us? And all these Gogos will be praying for you. Can you imagine how clean all the children are?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And the bonus is that everything. No, honorable members, thank you very much for the time that has been spent here. It's been a 2 days marathon. Yesterday also we dealt with SASSA and with NPA and social development. It has not been easy, honorable members, on your side. Like I said, you had 2 years of hard work where you had to make sure that at the end of the day, all systems are up in this department with this entity. So all in all, honorable members, as I summarize, we are expecting from SASSA to give us a progress report on the implementation of the AG findings. Every time, every quarterly, it will be nice for you to give us that on this finding, this is how far we are. On this finding, this is what we have done. So that by the end of the financial year, at least, we are able to move all of us together. Mm-hmm. The other thing is the detailed report on ICROP. Mm-hmm. All what was requested here by members would need that. Mm-hmm. For you to give us a detailed report of what is happening in that 277 million. And then the issue of also your system, putting your systems in place. I think we really have to work very hard on that. We understand that your collaboration with the South African Post Office is a new thing. Taking over the grant is almost a new thing that is coming with the challenges. But let's make sure that all the challenges that are coming with all of this collaboration, we are able to solve them, including the challenges of the workers. I always say, for you, if you want to an atmosphere where workers will understand what you want as an employee, take them on board, don't leave them. For a new thing that you want to implement, even if it's a new, you want to buy new brooms, you don't want to use the brooms that they were using, don't take it lightly. Because they are used to a lightweight broom, and then you are bringing a broom that perhaps uses water. For them, it's a new thing that they need to experience. So from time to time, take the workers on board. Because that's a mistake that we always do in the management. We don't take them on board. We just bypass and do things, forgetting that those people that have to implement are the same workers. So let's try. We don't want to talk to a situation whereby people are going to be like afraid. The 2 days really. All the people were calling some of us to say, are we going to be paid now that Nehao is saying it's a total shutdown? So all of those things, can we try to improve on that? We have started on the right note now for this financial year, and we are very glad. The last thing I think that we need, the report. Remember, you still have to give us, when you have reported to the, you're still reporting to the Constitutional Court. So every time after you have reported, remember you have to bring the report to the committee and take us on board on what you have reported to the Constitutional Court. And I hope even the matter of the Constitutional Court now will come to a finality. Would not want for us to implement our mandate, then there should be a gun on our head. No, that shouldn't happen. With those few words, thank you very much also to the staff of the Portfolio Committee. We ate so well yesterday, but today we don't have lunch on our members, unfortunately. I don't know what happened, but then I think it's hungry, so I don't